Coming to you live from South Florida, it's the SFL Drifters Podcast. Yeah. I am your host, Mr. Captain Ben, along with me, Tim Murphy.
Hello.
And unfortunately, we have Mr. Noel Garcia.
Unfortunately, hello.
As always, our radio engineer, Paul Murphy.
How you doing?
And today we have a lot to talk about. I think we'll probably go into 2 hours. I don't know. Probably,
this may have to be split up into two episodes, but we'll figure it out.
We'll see if we could try to get into all of the topics we have in store today.
There's just so much good stuff to talk about.
Yes, indeed.
Why do I only have one paper?
Look at the other side.
Oh.
The miracle of double-sided printing.
Exactly. First and foremost, we actually wanted to go over some of the feedback that we got from the first podcast. And for the most part, we got some very positive reviews, actually.
You want to go ahead and read the first one?
Let's see. Well, I'll pick it randomly. Crazy Drift said, "Finished the podcast. It was awesome. Very educating and loved the topics. Can't wait for the next one. Great job, guys."
That was good. That was good to hear that from Sean McQueen.
Sean the Lightning McQueen.
Sean the Lightning McQueen. Okay, let me pick one here. Bleak says, "Okay, finally finished this monster of a podcast. I absolutely loved every minute of it. Had a few good laughs and really enjoyed the content. Just want you guys to be more organized, which we are working on. Hopefully this podcast will show that."
Not really.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, right.
"Organized during the podcast, like how you expect the radio show to be administered. But everything was spot on. Great conversations all around. I really, really enjoyed it. Can't wait to listen to the next one. Hopefully this can be explained beyond our small community, or expanded." Yeah, look at me. It's getting late. We should have done this about an hour ago.
We need someone else to
read. Yeah. Anyways, well, okay, so go ahead and read.
I don't want to read.
Pick one, Paul. I think you should use box mods.
I don't like any of them.
Oh, God. All right, so I'll pick another one. Okay, box mod says...
What? Wait, that's too long.
That's too long? No.
Yeah, that is. That's a novel.
It is.
Oh, yeah. That was
That's a short story.
I don't even know why you put that on there.
Well,
I try to include everybody.
But
please don't. You don't need to include everybody.
Go ahead, read one.
No, please don't.
Yeah, no,
I don't even think
you're not even here for the first one, Noel.
He's going to read one.
It doesn't matter.
Fine, go ahead.
It doesn't matter because since I kind of brought up the topic about
tire size. Go ahead, go ahead.
Patrick Gooden says, "The tire rule is like that because tires grow as they get worn down. I'm not a scientist that understands why that happens, but it does. My 255 tire starts as a 250 and end up as a 254. Some tires grow more."
I feel like I'm in an English class.
Yeah.
Like the assignment is read out loud from the textbook.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Okay, the tire rule is like that.
Well, you know, this was what people had said after the comments from our last podcast, some of the topics that we talked about.
That's good.
What Jen said here, topic ideas, some of her topic ideas were how do I become a drifter, car requirements. We might have to bring that up in a later segment. Tech requirements in detail.
What else could we really describe? I don't understand.
I mean, if you're on a drifting website, and if you're listening to this, you should know by now how to be a drifter.
Okay, well, I'm just reading it out. "And should Florida event organize standardized rules," which I definitely agree with.
That's an easy yes, but we'll probably talk more about that later, a little later in this one. Go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry to cut you off.
And the Toyota versus Nissan versus BMW.
That is a very interesting
thing. That is... No.
I mean, really, it's more just Toyota versus BMW.
Yeah. That's a very heated debate. We need Harry Tervola to...
Did Ben arrange the wording here? It goes Toyota, Nissan, and BMW.
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 What the...
Yes, we know. I told you about that, and yet you don't listen. You probably were using the headphones when I told you about that.
Anyhow, I don't know... Well, Ben, explain what the story behind this. You explained it to this to me earlier.
Jem suggested that from a little story that happened at DeSoto a couple of years back. It was myself, Hachi Bill Sherman, and the indomitable Mr. Harry Tobola, the Finnish hammer or whatever you want to call him, the Finnish drift star. And we got into a very heated debate as to which one was better, Toyota or BMW. And we got into very crazy topics like, oh, the Camry's better because of this.
The Camry?
Yeah.
The Camry.
The Camry is better because of this.
You were arguing with the Camry. That was your argument?
Camry.
Of all cars. All
right. Let me explain something about Ben. Ben is the only person in the world that gets excited, like genuinely excited about a Camry, saying it's like the best car in the world.
I'm not saying... Hold on. I did not say that the Camry is the best car in the world. I'm saying that the Camry SE V6 is badass.
He said something like, it's almost like a Ferrari. It's amazing.
I was what?
Like,
what? No, you didn't.
What? I will throw this bear at you, all right, and cause pain, inflict pain upon you. I did not say that. You're putting words into my mouth.
Why would you pick a Camry?
It was during the discussion.
Anyways, whatever.
I forgot who brought it up, but for instance, one of Bill's arguments was BMWs and their torque nuts or whatever the heck to hold the wheel.
That's just picking on. You talking about okay, BMW? They don't have studs. But so does Volkswagen. The lug and this one in
screws. A lot of European cars.
It's really not.
Even Harry admitted that was stupid.
Yeah, it is what it is. But it's not. That's not. Oh, I'm not going to buy this car because of that.
I would say that's like stupid. What the heck? I'm getting this.
So you'd rather your car rust to pieces than
conversion kit.
You just get studs.
Yeah,
you get
studs.
Problem solved.
I have that on mine.
Yeah, I got it on mine too.
Really not that
you know what I found out the other day? That the new BMWs, and I think a lot of the new cars are doing this, they don't have an oil dipstick.
They don't want anybody but the dealerships to be messing around with the cars. That's what I've been hearing about a lot.
Tim, what do you think?
I don't know. I didn't know about that. I stay with the older BMWs. I don't even bother with the new stuff.
Yeah. I mean, one of the arguments that I read is that with the old dipstick, you're never going to get an accurate reading, considering the fact that it's always sloshing around.
You don't check your oil while you're driving.
Well,
you check it on a level surface when it's cool. I don't see.
Well, there's people out there that they don't know.
I guess they just keep
filling up the engine with oil until it reaches all the way to the top of the dipstick.
Anyways,
BMW won that discussion, right?
No, it did not.
Well, how could it not?
It did not.
The only thing
that Toyota really has is the 1J and 2J.
No, it doesn't.
I mean,
no,
you know,
my,
all the
we
stuff.
Have the
no, it doesn't.
No.
Well, yeah, I mean,
we
not,
have the 3S,
okay.
The 3T, the 3TC, the 22R.
My 1987 BMW has outside temperature display.
87.
It has a rechargeable flashlight.
It has a rechargeable flashlight.
You know what Toyota did?
In
the glove box.
And how long would those electronics last?
They still work today. And let me ask you something. In 87, they're still making 86 Corolla in 87, correct?
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
What?
And what they have? They didn't have anything.
Well, actually,
the point is the budget 3 series for BMW at the time the 87 Corolla
BMW
was coming
innovates.
Out. Yeah, they innovates, and not only that is most E30s aren't total rust buckets compared to 87 Toyotas.
I don't know.
A lot of them are.
Pumpy brakes.
You got select spots.
My E30 rusts like crazy. I don't know what you're talking about. It's a brother.
Even your own brother.
It all depends on who had them and who took care of them and how they took care of them.
Well, see, the E30 had certain spots that just got clogged up and then they started rusting.
It was because of the... The drains for the sunroof, a lot of drains on the sunroof, they would get clogged, and improper maintenance would cause excess water buildup, which would cause rust.
Well, what happened with all that German engineering?
It was engineered well.
Not well enough?
Improper maintenance in any car will cause, problems. I mean, it's any car. It could be American, German, Japanese, whatever. It's just you got to take care of a car, to make it last.
I don't know. You're riding a BMW and you're riding a Toyota. You can just
How much more does that BMW cost?
You close the door.
Close the door on a German car and Toyota.
And close the door on a Japanese car. It's two different feelings.
Okay.
With a German car, it feels solid. Nothing clanks or or rattles.
It's like when you close a Toyota door, it's like you're closing a screen door. Like you ever go into somebody's porch door,
and it rattles and makes a bunch of noise.
It makes a bunch of noise.
Thinking about racing, it's lightweight.
No, nothing about racing. No. They're thinking about we don't just save a weight.
I tried for the Toyota guys.
Yeah, it is.
Look, there's a reason why Toyota is the world's number one manufacturer.
Yeah, because they put out cheap cars.
They don't put out cheap cars.
They put out affordable cars.
They have a wide range of vehicles from the low end to the very top.
Okay.
So they have all the markets filled. So
that's why. So they make a wide range of vehicles. They make more.
But that doesn't mean that BMW can. It's not like Toyota is denying BMW the same ability for them to do so. So why hasn't BMW done it?
Because they don't have to.
Because they suck. They know it.
No, they don't suck.
They do.
They do not suck.
Yes, they do.
Not true. No, it's not true.
Well, I mean, the way I see it, BMW is a little
You see how this is a heated debate? Because there are no winners.
How could BMW suck?
Those two manufacturers are really in two different markets. One is trying to be more affordable, more people car type, you know, and the other one's just a higher-end car.
For instance, Lexus and BMW. How many BMWs you see winning the J.D. Power dependability studies? And compare that to Lexus. What was one of the most dependable luxury vehicles in its class, in the like entry-level luxury class? The IS300. The 3 Series never won it. Yes. See, look.
Anyways, this is just going nowhere.
We're having some technical weird.
This is going nowhere. BMW is better, Toyota. Let's go to the next one.
What about Nissan, guys?
Okay. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares about Nissan.
That's crap.
Right? Yeah. Maybe when Rod gets here.
I agree.
We can,
I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah. What's the how can I say this? What is the best achievement that Nissan or best? I mean, how can I say it? What is the best contribution that Nissan has
Nissan
brought
ever won,
to
like a motor award? Like,
yeah, it actually has. There is
BMW always wins motor awards.
Yeah, there is a WARD Ward.
Yeah, Ward. Yeah, Ward's best motors.
Yeah, the VQ won for a couple of years.
Yeah, how long did that take?
None. Well,
we're talking about from the beginning. Okay, Noel, what do you think is Nissan's, like, your favorite car out of all the Nissans? What's your favorite?
I would go old school. I mean, I don't really care about too many cars that are newer from Nissan. They don't excite me. There's nothing.
They had more character back then. Nissan 510. That's my favorite out of all Nissans.
I would say 510s or the 240Z, the S30 chassis. I like those cars a lot. I've driven a few. Those are always fun, but, you know, then again, I just drive an old car, so that's all I know is old cars.
Right. Ben?
What was the question? Like, what is one of their greatest achievements?
No, pick your favorite Nissan out of all the Nissan cars ever made.
That's a hard question because I hate all of them. I seriously do.
Okay.
They're all...
Paul?
Whatever. My favorite Nissan? I like the 240Z because, you know, grew up in one of those. And I would say probably an R32. R32? I always wanted an R32.
Well...
It's kind of like, it's still small. It's not huge and bulky like the R34. And then the R33 is just ugly.
Hold on. Why would you like a car that you know for sure you're not going to fit in?
I bought an RX-7. Okay?
Yeah, you did.
An RX-7, and I suffered shoving myself in it because I loved it.
But then he bought a BMW, and that's it. There's
no to find something that he could actually fit in.
The thing is, once you go to BMW, you're going to keep buying BMW.
Well, this is
the thing. No, you're not.
Yes, you are.
When I bought my FC, I went to test drive it, and Tim was with the owner, and I come back, and he said, I bought it.
Okay, this is after like a road trip to Lakeland to look at an 86 Corolla that he should have bought. We drove all the way up there, and he's just like, oh, I don't know, and we drove back. Even his BMW, he cannot commit to buying a car. We had, for $500, we picked up his E30. The AC worked. The stereo, everything worked for $500. And he was, I think it's too much. Yeah, we drove it back home, and it ran fine.
He is very frugal with his money.
Yeah, I am.
Frugal?
Yeah.
No. But anyways, we're not going to go into that.
I think we did.
Yeah, no. But we're not going to go into detail.
I wanted to make a comment regarding one of the topics that we discussed last time. That was in regards to the Formula Drift Pro-Am.
Okay.
Last time you were saying that the East Coast is actually one of the hardest areas to actually get.
Yeah, and I was going to, in Box Mod, definitely agreed with me on that. It says,
did he?
I also, right in the bottom. I also agree, it's a quote from Box Mod. I also agree that SWD has the hardest route to FD. Not only are the courses pretty difficult, except for ZMAX, not to mention we have very strong drivers list the past 2 years.
Yeah. I did some research, and I was actually looking at some of the series that hold Pro-Am
like
events.
Seattle?
Evergreen.
Seattle's always at the same place.
Evergreen there Drift. Is Just Drift that does the events at Willow Springs.
It's all there, right?
Too. Yeah, it's all there. And Vegas Drift, they have, I forget what track that they use, but they use the same track.
You would think some guys would just go over there to
Why would
get
you?
Their license, you know?
Oh, yeah, do you mean to go over there, just do all the events?
Just go over there, live for a couple, you know, live for there for a year or a season, and then...
Well, what SWD does very well is it really prepares you for Formula D with the changes in tracks, also the traveling, you know, going to Florida, Atlanta, Charlotte, Virginia. I mean, there's, you know, it really prepares you. It gives you a taste of what FD.
Yeah, you're right. It
you
does.
Know, is like, but you go out to these other Vegas Drift is on the same. From what I've seen, they're on the same Las Vegas Speedway or Raceway, whatever it's called, and they, you know, it's just. It's like for Pro-Am, that's kind of like, it's just this is what you're gonna run, and
especially
that's it.
If it's your home track.
Yeah, it just makes it that much easier. It's like if we held a Pro-Am series at County Line.
Right.
Every event.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
I think it would be cool for us. It would help us out, but at the same time we'd be doing a disservice to the drivers because we're not preparing them for what it's going to really take. It's going to be a culture, not necessarily culture shock, but it's definitely going to be when you start competing at all the other tracks. If your only experience is at County Line, people will get stuck. And if there's a pro, if we did a pro-am at County Line, it would be less incentive for the drivers to go to other tracks and improve their skills.
Of course.
And you know, just as well as anybody, driving the same track all the time, once you get your basics, when you first start learning, that's great. But as you start to grow as a driver, you need to test the limits of your car, and then once you start out driving your car, but you're never going to know that if you keep doing the same tracks all the time.
I mean, all I have to say is just look at FD this past year. The best rookies, in my opinion, were all the East Coast guys. You know, the Florida guys, J-Lo, Chelsea, and Pat. They've shown that they can adapt to the tracks pretty
and
well.
And Jason Giovanni will be there next year along with them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just we're just proving ourselves. The whole
did
back
Rapper
in the
Dan
day Florida fail thing is
yeah Rapper Dan did too, but I don't think he's from down here. Is he from down here?
No, he's from
East Coast.
He's from this. He's from the Southeast region.
Northeast.
Anyways, I was wrong.
Maybe CFRC, maybe the show. I don't know, but there has to be something on this side at least, make it a little easier. But you're right. SWD sort of it does give you. A good workout, a good idea as to what to expect when you go over to Formula D. So,
well, I will say that I don't want to shoot out any names, but there was a quick discussion with me and a couple of the other event organizers. One of the other people, I'm not going to say any names or make anything, put anything out there yet until it's
finalized.
In writing, until it's finalized. But there is some suggestions of an all-Florida series coming up. I know Harry tried to do that back in the day with, was it FDC?
FDC.
Florida Drift Circuit. It was bad timing. At that time, there was very few drivers that were able to do it. This time, I think it might actually be able to pull together between
Yet we
County
can get
line.
A top 32 for County Line?
Well, but those are Miami drivers.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking
Miami
we're
drivers.
Talking if we can. those are South Florida drivers. So if you think of a three events or two or three events up Central Florida, Northern Florida, and then two or three events down here between West Palm and Miami. And if we can get some good sponsors to back it, and if all the organizers can work together, not get greedy, but all just be like, okay.
Now,
what
is it you want to be a FD Pro-Am, or is it going to be?
Well, we haven't really talked too much about it. It was just suggested. I just got a message on Facebook the other day saying, you know, would this be something that you'd be interested in being a part of? And I said, of course I would. Anything that, you know, we can do to support the drifting in Florida, because there's a lot of drivers that don't really want to go, you know.
You know, it's when you think about it now, I mean, you go back 6 years, and drifting in Florida was, I mean, there was only Harry was running events. I think there was like the DG Trials.
There was DG Trials. There was Harry at some point. Then there was Drum Funkin' with the OSW events.
But those were very far and in between. I mean,
not
as often. It wasn't every month. Was it every month or every 2 weeks?
The OSW events, they were every month for a time. And then I think it was every other month at one point.
It wasn't very consistent. I know that.
It was.
No, I mean,
not like it is now.
Not like it is now.
Not like it is now.
That's what he's getting at.
You
may have had events every month or every 2 months. There's an event in Florida almost every week.
And, I mean, you can go to Central Florida, you can go to West Coast. You can go. I mean, you got tracks like really good, you know, space. You have a really good area.
There could be that easily. We could easily in Florida have our own Pro-Am series. Easily.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, there's plenty of drivers, especially from when I went up to CRFRC. I saw so many good drivers with cars that are prepped. They're ready to go. It's just a lot of these guys, they don't want to spend the money or don't have the money to.
Or they get stuck in the same situation like the guys in Miami. They just want to drive their own track and that's it.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
They got and impress their friends.
Yeah, see, you know, I really want to see more CFRC guys out at, you know, the county line or somewhere else. I mean, I guess they really do the DeSoto events when they can, but they don't ever come down the county line.
Well, they don't really have that much of an incentive to do so. I mean,
no, you're right.
CFRC.
What incentive do I have to go to CFRC? I go up there. What is anybody? It's a bigger track, but otherwise than that, I mean, there's really not. You're not talking about like, oh, you know,
higher speed entries.
We used to get people from Orlando.
Second left. Yeah. It's not much faster than a second left. It's pretty close to the same speed as the second left.
Really, on the entry?
Yeah, it's not. It's not much faster.
Yeah. Oh well.
But it is a more technical layout.
What
I mean, CRFRC. I would say.
No, the only
it's
reason
not
why
technical.
I say it's not is because their track is too. If you look at the track, there's not much.
It's a run your own line track.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's like a big open area. The potential is there, but they need to now don't line the track with K rails, but line the track more definitive line, more cones, make it a little tighter. Because right now, when we're watching that video from Black Friday Mayhem, you got two people running way different lines, going way shallow, and somebody going way wide.
Yeah.
There's nothing forcing close. It's really hard to get close tandem.
That's why you don't see really great close tandems there. I mean the better guys you do see that.
Yeah,
because they're on the same line.
They kind of understand how to follow a line,
or they've been driving together for
and
a while.
Drive a line. You know,
just to chime in on that, the good tandems that I've seen in CFRC are with Dan Chilton, Jeremy Lowe, and Tom Barnhart with Pat Gooden.
But you're talking to these people that drive together a lot.
Well, that's what I'm adding to that statement.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Paul.
And then I would like to see, you know, I mean, I'm not saying anybody's, you know, they can't drive up there. They look like they got a lot of good drivers.
Yeah, they do.
But, you're in such a wide area. You can't see if you can give them a line to try,
mm-hmm.
and if they will keep it inside the boundaries. You know what I'm saying? Like if they came to county line, I'm not sure if they could link it.
They probably
without going out into the KP zone or getting caught by the trap or whatever.
I think it depends really more on the driver skill level. And you had. The active auto work, those guys came out to kind of line. They had Chelsea and...
Well, Chelsea, I mean, come on.
Well, Chelsea, I know that. But his friend that tags along with him, I forgot his name. I think it's Brandon Hugh or something. He drives a BMW at CFRC a couple of times.
David, the Asian kid, right?
Yeah, David.
David Hughes?
Yeah, thank you. He drove. He took out the active AutoWork M3, and he was able to figure it out.
The first left.
Oh, the first left. That's
the second
easy.
Left is a whole other story.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
the first
about.
Left
I'm talking
is
about
very
second left.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, second left.
Yeah, first left is kind of like drifting
second gear.
In a parking lot.
Yeah. Or at a skid pad.
Or skid pad, yeah. The second left requires, you know, a little bit more skill on the entry, and you have to be a little bit more precise.
Yeah, there's only just one line, really, to take on the second left. You're on a very narrow margin of error, I would say.
Well, it's just people trying to figure out the correct line to get around the back section and not scrubbing off speed. But anyways...
scrubbing off too much speed.
Right, but getting back on topic.
Well, we appreciate the feedback. We really do.
No, definitely appreciate the feedback.
Keep it coming in.
Definitely keep it coming in. We like the suggestions. It feels good that everybody is really enjoying it. And we look forward to keep doing these podcasts. And we definitely want to take a lot of your suggestions into consideration. And we will be pulling out different people throughout the podcast and having different guest speakers and different guests come by and do the podcast with us. That being said, tonight we got Rod Becker. Most of you guys know who Rod Becker is. He's been around for a while. Took a little break building his car. Him and his dad have put together his S13. Did a very good job. Is he on? Okay, so we got Rod Becker. Say hello.
Hello, hello.
Can you hear him? Is it good? All right, so Rod, first thing I'm going to ask you is what made you decide to get into drifting?
Well, I've been around motorsports pretty much all my life. And it's kind of a similar story to a lot of people that I know. I basically, back in 05, I was in a pretty bad motorcycle accident. And when I recovered from that, I needed something to, I guess, occupy myself.
Satisfy your need
pretty
for speed.
Much, yeah, yeah. So it was either my wife, which was my girlfriend at the time, basically her older brother was a street drifter up in Panama City and was basically like, you know, maybe get into drifting or whatever the case may be. I was either thinking of low riding and getting a low rider, build that up.
I still want to do that.
Oh, yeah, I would like to do that.
Yeah.
An S10 maybe?
No. Like a 64 Impala?
Right, yeah. Like
we're
a
talking
hopper,
about like
I'm sorry.
Hopper,
like,
three-wheeling, all that stuff. Yeah.
Like low rider.
But, you know, I've always liked to, I guess, go fast. So I guess drifting it was. And I was never really a drag racer type of guy.
And you've had experience with racing and, I think, go-karts, right?
Yeah. When I was young, I used to race go-karts on an oval dirt track. So
with your dad, you and your dad, right?
Yep. That was good experience. It was basically, you know, since it was a dirt track, it was clay, and we would get sideways in the turns. Granted, it was only turning left.
It was still
a cool experience at the age of like 10. So it was nice.
So what made you decide to break the car down and redo it? You did an LS1 swap. You did a bunch of other, a lot of sticky stuff to finish off the swap, right?
Yeah. Well, I bought the motor, I want to say in 08, from Dangle.
Yeah, Dangle, that's right. I was actually there. Yeah. I was actually there when he bought the motor to put in his car.
But right.
Yeah, we picked it up.
Yeah. So I had that for a long time, about 2 years. It sat in my garage. And then I guess I can't say they really plateaued with the K, but I just got bored of it. I basically needed more power. Needed more power.
Yeah.
It's typical.
It's nice.
Yeah. And started, you know, I sold a K and started tearing the car down, but then life gets in the way like it does with everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why it took so long to do it and finish it. And then basically I love my dad, but
he keeps finding stuff to
more
add.
And more stuff. He's like, I basically just wanted to finish the car and just drive again. But he's like, no. Let's do this. Okay, we're done with that. Let's do that. I'm like,
right. Okay, it's, well, you know, it is what happens. Like, even with my car, I was supposed to just pull my motor out, re-ring it, and put it back in. Well, that didn't happen.
No, never does.
No.
I got a new turbo.
Right. I got another mega squirt. I decided, you know what, let me go ahead and do the stroker. Anyways.
While it's down, let's just do everything else.
Yeah, well, I'm not doing everything else, but that's besides the point. What are your plans for this car and for – because we know you have a baby on the way.
Yes, yes.
But so what are your plans going to be as far as the drifting? Obviously, the drifting is going to have to be – it's going to have to take a side step. It's going to, you know, put that off to the side. But what are your ultimate – because now you got this car, except for third gear. You're having problems with third gear. So
well, yeah,
it still, needs a little work.
Well, the training needs to be rebuilt, obviously, because it was already beaten up pretty good by Mr. Gooden.
Yeah.
Which I already knew that when I bought it, which is no big deal. Yeah, it just needs to be rebuilt, and once that's the case, then we'll be back in action.
So, but what are your plans? You want to do some pro-am? Do you want to do just local events? What's your?
I'd like to do pro-am, but the budget is very scarce at the moment.
Well, of course.
I even see in the future that it's going to be kind of a low budget. So pretty much just local.
Just local. Everyone's going to all go out and have some
weekend
fun.
Warrior.
Just having fun, right?
Yeah, just having fun. Just KDF, fun. People.
KDF.
KDF.
Keep drifting fun.
Keep drifting fun.
That's right.
Well, yeah.
All right. And then, like I said, congratulations. You got the baby along the way.
Appreciate
Yumi.
It.
I think that's going to be the name, right? It's a little baby girl.
Yep. Little baby girl.
And we got Ellie, which is behind you sleeping, which is
she's,
nice.
She's napping.
Always supporting Rod everywhere, everything
that's
he
right.
does.
If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be in drifting.
There you go. Okay, so that being said, everybody's got a good idea. If you didn't know Rod, at least you have an idea what he's about and where he came from. What we're going to go ahead and do now is I called a friend of mine. Everybody knows him. He's got a zone named after him. And what we're going to start doing is his KP.
Oh, my gosh.
What we're going to start doing is every podcast we're going to have.
or try to have at least at every podcast.
Try to, you know. What was it?
How, a word of wisdom?
A word of wisdom.
With Kevin Phillips.
Like with Kevin Phillips. And this is the word of wisdom from Kevin Phillips. I asked him, I said, we need a KP phrase of the day. And this is what I came up with. I texted him, can I get a KP quote of the day? And he said, sure. I quote, don't drive shifter carts on street roads. You'll never know when a manhole will come up. So you guys keep that in mind.
That's
make sure you use that. That's
wow.
That is a life lesson. There's a lot of wisdom in there. I could see. So
don't fall
I feel
in a manhole.
Privileged.
You should. We should feel privileged. We have.
I felt like just a massive amount of knowledge was
a wealth of knowledge
was just given to me.
I feel enlightened.
I feel like. Have you guys?
I feel complete.
Has anybody ever seen Indiana Jones?
Yes.
The last one.
No.
Oh no. No.
No.
With
no,
the crystal
not.
Skulls, where no. the lady she looks into the skull and she's just like,
oh,
now
sure. Yeah, she just
she knows everything ever to know. That's what I feel like right now.
You're in the movie.
For thank
me.
You,
thank
Kevin
you.
Phillips. Yes.
Well, thanks.
Thank
I'm
if you haven't seen it
anymore.
Yet, then you're probably never going to see it anyways.
Probably not. Or wait until it comes out on Netflix.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. Okay. So let's go.
I can't wait till next week.
Next week
or what's next time?
Next time. What's next time?
Well, what he's going to say?
Oh,
next?
Yeah.
Oh.
That, if there's
stay tuned.
Anything,
oh, yeah.
If there's any
stay
reason
tuned
to tune
for more
in,
keep,
yeah.
KP phrases.
If there's any reason to tune
quote
in the
quote of the day.
Yeah.
The KP phrase of the day.
That's right.
Okay, so let's go through our list of topics. We're going to try to hit at least briefly touch on everything here. We got Black Friday Mayhem. There's some we watched some of the videos with the judging. Some questionable stuff that we won't
now. Where
talk
exactly
about.
Was the Black Friday Mayhem for people that do not know?
It was at CFRC.
Okay.
And it was on Black Friday. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was a 2-day Friday and Saturday event.
Yes,
right?
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Supposedly it was something, you know, they kind of went out there and then they did like a little practice or something like that. And then they had like a fishing competition at night or something.
That's kind of cool.
That's pretty cool.
They're always time. CFRC is always trying to do new things to keep the crowd engaged, which is really good. I like
big
that.
Up to Steve-O. Big up.
Definitely big up. Then we have Ben and I. Ben, of course, sliding another FRS at the skid pad. And me with my mom, I flew up to Ohio. She purchased new FRS. And I was able to drive that car back from Ohio, go through some mountain roads.
I'm
you're
so
a good
jealous.
Son.
Yes.
So jealous.
Yeah, it was such
of course
a
you would be.
It was such a hard thing to do to drive an SRS all through the mountains, all the way back down to Florida.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go over that. We're gonna talk a little about that.
Very stressful.
We have the BC Racing Virtual Drift we're gonna talk about, which will be interesting. I don't know much about that, but I'm sure these guys do. Should event organizers standardize tech requirements? We'll go over that. Another one, I'm going to discuss WiseFab briefly. We're going to talk about DeSoto Driftmas, the end of the year awards, and we're going to discuss the next USDC Drift event, which definitely looks promising that USDC will be coming back this year stronger than it was in this last year. So.
That's exciting.
So, okay, so let's get started. Black Friday Drift Mayhem. Did you guys get to watch the video?
I saw the video.
Okay, so what do you guys think?
Wait, hold on. We got to set it up because we don't know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, well, I don't want to be the only one talking here, so
That's fine. Well, apparently there's been a call with the questionable judging, or I don't even know how do you want to call it, but
and we've there's been
claims of questionable judging taking place at the Black Friday Mayhem event.
Well, and even FD, we're always talking about questionable judging.
Yeah, well, you can't please everybody.
Nope.
No.
But in particular, it was with the talent competition that Kelsey was involved in with Charles Mann, I think?
No, that was Charles Mann's old car. Yes.
Oh, okay, that's how I got it confused.
It's Alec.
Alec, okay.
I forget his last name, but yes. Young lad.
Oh, six, yeah, isn't 16 he, years old. Is, yeah, okay, yeah. He's friends with the other Alec or whatever.
I'm not sure.
That is also 16?
I'm not sure.
That is kind of weird.
Yeah,
that is kind of weird.
I am confused.
Kind of like Eric Coghlan and Eric Conklin. That is weird, too.
Yeah, there's two Erics.
Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
There's a kid at CFRC.
Yes.
Eric Conklin.
And he is.
I like Eric Conklin. He's a cool kid.
But his dad
drifts as well.
Really?
Oh, yeah. His dad, I did a KMS event. His dad was out there driving. His dad had his own car.
Yeah.
It was like a convertible. I think I am 13.
So confused.
If you guys haven't heard, he is the Justin Bieber of drifting.
Yeah, but they call him Bieber Fever.
Great guy. I think Noel doesn't know which one he's talking to.
Right.
Yeah.
Eric Coghlan is the
West Palm Beach.
And then Eric
with a K.
Conklin. It's almost spelled the same.
Yeah. Tim got confused one night.
Yeah, I did get confused one night. Whoa, sorry.
Well,
actually, if you want to get Coghlan mad, just call him Conklin.
Conklin, okay.
Is that his
name? For a second, I was so confused. All the wisdom from the KP quote just almost went out.
And the funny thing is at CFRC, when Eric Coghlan was driving, people thought that was Eric Conklin.
I heard a lot about that. I was like, why are people calling him Conklin? What is this?
It's a whole other kid.
It's sort of the same thing with Kevin.
He had a red S13. With I want to say an RB. Did he have an RB or S or no SR?
No, I think it was a RB.
Was it an RB?
I'm not sure.
I know it was a 6.
I just know him as Bieber Fever.
Yes, Bieber Fever.
You also have Kevin Lawrence and Chris Lawrence.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I got those confused for a while too because I was like, oh wow, Chris is building. Who's one? Sweet Motions is Kevin or Chris?
That's Chris.
Chris.
Right,
so I was like, oh, Chris has got an 8.6, but it's Kevin Lawrence.
Kevin Lawrence. They know each other, and they hang out, so.
Well, they're brothers.
Apparently.
Supposedly.
Maybe.
Possibly.
No, they're not. When I was announcing at CFRC, I intentionally switched them. I was calling Kevin Lawrence, who was out there sliding. I was saying, oh, it's Chris Lawrence out on the track right now. And Chris was like, looking around like,
No, he actually
put up a Facebook status. He's like, oh, apparently I'm a drifter. And I'm pretty good at it, too. I was like, sweet.
Yes. It was a nice 8.6. Unfortunately, he did crash it, correct?
Yes, one time.
Well, I think he only hit the wheel and he was looking at the suspension. And I went by and I looked at it and everything looked
good. Noel had a heart attack when it happened.
Yes, a slight. Well,
for those of you who don't know, just want to make it clear, Noel Garcia here is one of the biggest AE86 enthusiasts South Florida has.
Yes.
Well, the 86s are a dying breed. They're almost like a unicorn.
I'm trying.
It's a classic. It's a classic, bro. It's a classic.
How often do you see that car on the street?
It's a classic.
Rare.
And very rare to see that car driving on the street.
Not where I come from.
You live in South America.
Well,
hey, I don't live too far, and I'm the only one that I see.
Represent.
I drive by a hatch every day to work. It's on the highway.
Okay.
But what Tim is trying to say is, how often do you see different AE86s?
No, I don't.
You may see that one hatch every single day, but this doesn't necessarily mean that.
There is a pile of rust that I do pass a lot, so that might be an 86.
That could be. Or it could be Noel's.
It could be Noel's
86.
Oh, no, wait, no, Toyota's don't rust.
But Keishi Tsuchiya says it's a classic, so nobody cares.
But okay. Look, we've gone way off. So going back to the questionable judging, Kelsey had a tandem battle with Charles Manzo's car. I don't know who the heck was driving.
Alec,
whatever.
Hunadel?
Alec, just Alec.
Okay, Alec.
Not the one from West Palm.
Not Alec McEwen.
Right.
With the S14. This is
yes.
This is another S14.
It's another Alec with an S14.
Well, at least it's blue.
And it has LS in it.
During the competition, people felt that the blue S14, Alec, clearly won the battle, and it went one more time. Yeah. I saw the footage, and I was like, really? I mean, I really only saw one major mistake from Charles, and that was
Alec.
Alec, sorry. You guys got into my head that's Charles Mann's car. Sorry.
Anyways.
So, yeah, that was during the chase run when Alec was in the back, and I only saw him do, like, one major mistake as he was coming out of the hot pocket.
His lead run was
good. I had no complaints about that.
It was a lot of distance. It was seemed pretty clear that I think he should have got the first round.
Yeah.
Now, we all know Kelsey. She's a good driver, and she would rather have the fair call.
Yeah.
And, you know, and a lot of times what happens, it seems like, is when you get these bad calls, sometimes people look at the driver like it's, you know.
But who's making like these bad calls?
Who was the judges?
I don't know who the judges
are. Well, I don't know who the judges are. I wasn't there.
CFRC,
You were there.
No, I wasn't there. Sorry.
The thing with CFRC, at least from the time that I've been there and the times that I've heard of it, they do judging by polls. Like,
not always.
Oh, it's not always?
It's not always.
All right, well.
FYI, it's not
always. You missed the first episode. We talked about that already.
You should pay attention.
Did you even listen to the first podcast?
Yeah.
I don't even know you anymore.
I had to go to work.
Do you have internet?
You had to go to work.
Do you have internet?
Yes, I have internet.
How do we play Forza together?
He was upset.
Who was upset?
That's why he didn't listen to it.
Oh, so you were protesting?
Was I? Oh, I was.
Did you listen to the first podcast?
What a jerk.
I was talking about the tire rule.
Answer the question.
Yes, I heard it.
You heard it?
The tire rule, and that's all you heard.
Oh, that's what it was. The tire rule. Tim's a jerk. He's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm going to post up stuff. He's wrong. Here's some facts that were wrong.
The argument is
false facts.
Well, look, the argument is, I feel, you could say that, yeah, that was a bad call. It was questionable. But the problem is, you weren't there, so.
You weren't here to.
To what?
To debate it. So, shut up.
No,
I'm not talking about Noel.
What is going on?
I'm total mayhem.
Yes.
I'm talking about the event. I'm talking about some of the argument that could come from CFRC or the judges. They could be like, well, you weren't there. How do you know? You didn't necessarily see what we saw. It's the same feedback, criticisms that we get when we judge an event. And people they question some of our calls. Like what happened at the USDC event.
Yeah, that was our fault. We didn't explain. That was our fault in the fact that we didn't explain well enough what the disqualifications were.
No, I understood completely.
You understood?
Yeah.
I barely listened to
the meeting.
Yeah. What?
You heard. See, Rod heard us say, don't hit the clipping cones.
Right.
Yeah.
We specifically said that.
Yeah.
So if you do
and it goes out of the box, then it's.
Well, but you know what's the crazy thing? The crazy thing is when I was looking at the video, it didn't even look like Harry, like, nailed it or anything like that.
No, he didn't. He pushed it out of the box.
Yeah, he just nudged it.
It was enough out of what you guys were
saying. What Will had said is that he didn't hit hard. He just pushed it out of the box.
Yeah.
And right, unfortunately. Whatever.
Out of the box.
Out of the box is
zero.
It is what it is.
Simple.
Yeah.
So
I totally understood it.
What can you do?
It was everybody that was talking during.
There were
the meeting.
Some drivers that were like, "Oh, well, you said 4 feet, so I guess they thought we were going to go out there with the measuring tape every time and measure it like it was a shot put or something."
Well, you gotta check the replay, okay?
Well, I was getting yelled at like I made the call. It was interesting. Yeah. Interesting day.
Well, I was on zip tie the other night. Don't ask why.
Why were you on Zip Tied?
We're asking you.
I don't.
You have an account on Zip Tied?
No, I don't.
I do.
Have it.
So why were you on
there? I do too.
You do?
Don't worry.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. So I was on Zip Tied, and they were actually talking about the Black Friday Mayhem event.
Really?
And there was one person who you can find that for yourself.
No, I won't.
There was one person who wasn't too thrilled about the event. They went out. They had, they won money.
Are we naming names?
Thrilled.
They
about
can find that for themselves. I don't want
to. Thrilled about like what aspect of it, the organization of it, the judging, the layout.
The thing is, that person didn't really have fun at the event.
Is it somebody that has
was
been
he driving?
Conline?
Yeah, he's been at Conline.
Okay.
Was he driving? Hey.
Yeah, he drove.
Yeah, he said he drove. You're not listening?
No, not at all.
I don't know who won.
Oh, jeez.
We got to get Steve in here next time.
So yeah, I tried to find out who won, but I couldn't find out. I don't know.
I should have just gone. And so that way I could just
why didn't you go?
Why didn't I go? Oh, I went Black Friday shopping.
and you also were here.
Yeah,
for
but you
the
know it was Saturday too.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah,
on
first
Black
episode.
Friday.
Yeah, that's why they didn't go because of the podcast.
That's right. Podcast definitely takes precedence over.
Yes, indeed.
But
yes.
It was also on Saturday. You didn't go then.
But you could find out for yourself. You could go to Ziptide and find out for yourself who.
Are you sure? Isn't it locked?
No, it's public viewable.
Okay. That part is.
Okay.
Ziptide. Yeah, you know what? Kind of break off. What is up with that site? Whose site is that, and why is it so prestigious?
I believe it's Josh's.
I don't want to.
Is it Josh or Mike?
Joshua Shear?
No, not Joshua Shear.
No.
Josh who?
Joshua from Orlando area.
I don't want to delve into
that. I thought it was
you don't wanna,
Mike.
Oh,
the
is that
from
sensitive
the,
area?
From the drip
it's not a sensitive area.
Drip.
I mean, I don't have a problem. It's just there's a lot of, I guess you could say, I don't know.
Drama?
It's a bunch of haters all put together in a forum.
Oh, okay. Well, moving along.
I wouldn't say haters. It's basically, it's almost like this is.
Would that be the upper class drifters?
No, it's like this is our country. We're going to do what we want to do. And if you don't like it, see you later. That's basically how they take their website.
Oh, that's how you take the website.
That's how they take their form. I'm sorry.
Okay. They're a bunch of kids. They act like kids.
All right,
a bunch
Paul.
Of negative Nancys.
Both of you guys are going to get the hate mail. Contact Noel Garcia and Paul Murphy. Not me. I'm cool. I'm cool with Ziptide.
I have no idea. I'm not worthy to even get on the website. Like, as soon as I go on there, they say, we don't like you. And
you have to be approved to go on that website.
Yeah, pretty much.
I got SFL Drifters. That's all I need.
Oh, thank you,
Tim. That warms my heart.
And whatever BMW forms you frequent.
Yes, E30 Tech and Rev Limited.
But here's the thing.
Wait, that's still around?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That person that made that post regarding the Black Friday Drift Mayhem, regarding it not being fun, it got me thinking, is it too much of... Because CFRC, they have an event almost every other weekend.
Yeah, but it's really laid back.
Is it too much?
Well, like what we came into with the skid pad, where for a while there...
We almost killed... The scene by oversaturation.
Oversaturation of events.
That's what I'm trying to get at. Is CFRC oversaturating their events?
How many people were at the Black Friday?
I don't know.
I think a lot of
people. I wasn't there. Why do you keep asking me that guy?
Because you're always there. You're in touch with these people.
Yeah, I know, but...
Captain Ben, you should be on top of this.
I should, but whatever. But what were you going to say? Somebody?
Well, I think because it wasn't just a normal event, like a regular event, since it was Black Friday Mayhem.
Right.
And they had, like, the camping and the bonfires and this, that, and the other. Right? Is that?
I think I heard the turnout wasn't that much.
No?
If I recall correctly.
Well, I mean, it's Black Friday. Everybody's shopping.
That's true. But Frankenslide, that was insane. That looked like Black Friday shopping. Like, everybody was lined up.
Yeah, it looked like the outside of Walmart.
Did you go there, too?
Yeah, he went.
You're crazy.
I was working.
That's why I had to stop running the line at the Skyline. I was falling asleep.
Hold on. I want to touch on that right quick on my trip to Frankenslide, which is like the craziest trip ever. Considering the fact that, one, getting into his car, Noel's car, was a death trap.
Why is it a death trap?
Because, look, you sit in it, his 8.6. It's like you're entering a third world country. All right?
What does that mean?
You live in a third world country.
Yeah.
South America.
Exactly.
No.
So it's like
Hialeah.
It's home. I don't know why he's complaining.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. And that's what I'm saying.
Actually,
it's not even a third world country.
It's all Spanish.
So, and the other thing, he's there telling me, check out this car, this Mustang that's coming up. I'm like, okay, I look to the side view mirror to go check it out.
There is none.
There is none. There is no side view mirror.
Black.
I'm like,
it's just black plastic.
Did it come with one?
No.
It was optional, right?
It was optional, but you still get like the whole like the assembly. You just don't get the mirror itself.
Oh, God.
So I folded it in. He's like, what are you doing, bro? And I'm like, you're not using it, so you might as well just fold it in. He's like, oh, whatever, shut up.
And it's not aesthetically pleasing to the eye.
His suspension is so shot
right.
that we had our friend Damien clutch on the forums.
Yes.
He was sitting in the back seat, and he decided to just go side to side in the back seat of the car.
You guys drove your 8.6 all the way up to Frankenstein?
No. Oh. We did it.
I was like, wow.
That was just suicidal. To West Palm to meet up with Eric Coughlin.
Coughlin.
Whatever.
With a K.
But he couldn't go past 70 miles per hour because the wind was just rocking the car side to side.
No, it's not that. It's the gearing.
Yeah, okay.
The gearing caused
the car.
The gearing is why I didn't want to go past 70.
Yeah, okay.
It's because the car at 70 is at 4,000.
Yes, the gearing was causing the car to rock side to side. Okay,
That's not what I meant.
Yeah, yes. Them gears. Yeah.
All right.
Them Toyota gears. Another reason not to like Toyota, because the gears make a car go left and right.
Yes, indeed. So, luckily, we made it to West Palm to meet up with Eric. And lo and behold, it ends up being he's towing his car with the wrong trailer. I don't even know if it was approved for to tow a car.
Oh boy.
With early 90s Ford Explorer with a 5.0 VA, I think.
My car was a death trap, that car was a coffin.
Yeah.
It was that, like, any little input in the steering, you would feel the back end start swaying around and you just didn't know where it was going
to go. Well, that's the Ford steering. They have the worst steering.
Yeah. And then it came to a point during our trip.
They do have great ACs, yeah.
And then it came a point during our trip on the turnpike where I guess they didn't read the sign that says for the next 48 miles there's no gas station, so check your gas gauge. And Eric was like, oh, don't worry, we can make it. Like 20 miles, like before the next service plaza, the empty the gas light comes on.
Oh, jeez.
It was the most horrific experience.
Did you make it? You guys made it?
Luckily, we made it.
Wow.
Eric was freaking out. He's like, oh, no, we're not going to make it. And all of a sudden, like, guy, relax. We're going to make it.
I was optimistic, and that's why we made it.
Yeah.
You were being positive.
Exactly.
So Noel was the savior of Frank's light trip.
His gears go side to side.
His gears go side to side.
He can think gas in the tank.
Yes, think it.
It's a gas-saving feature.
I know who's coming with us every time we go on a road trip.
Noel, I need you to believe in gas. Believe in gas for me. We need to make it. Yes, anyhow. Indeed.
So that was CFRC. That was it's always an experience going up there and back.
Okay, so the Black Friday Mayhem, whether you agree with the call, you know, that was probably just one of several.
We're still talking about that?
Well, I want to finish off this.
That's how it goes.
Just finish off the topic. Just kind of reviewing the topic so we can move on to the next one. You know, whether it's good or bad, there's always going to be questionable judging calls. Of course, we're trying to work out a system where it'll be less questionable and it'll be more cut and dry. But on to the next topic, we're going to go with Ben and his drive.
I think it was a better idea to talk about your trip.
Okay, let's talk
about it. What's it like driving and sort of living with an FRS for
day-to-day.
About 3,000 miles, I think. Isn't it about 3,000 miles?
Brand new.
1,500.
I think it was
brand new out of the box.
15, yeah, brand new out of the box.
Yeah.
Let me just brief everybody on what exactly was going down. I was helping my mom trying to locate. My mom wanted to purchase a new FRS. She wanted months ago. She saw the car. She fell in love with it. And for those of you that don't know my mom, she's the one that actually taught me how to work on cars and drive stick.
Really?
So, yeah, my mom is
That's
great.
Cool
mom. Mama Bear rocks. So,
wow. Okay.
Mama Bear.
Yeah, Mama Bear. So anyways, she really wanted an FRS, and of course she said, why would I get that car in an automatic? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I was like, Ma, I mean, come on, you want
And of course, my brother here is like, you can't use an automatic, or you need an automatic. Like, Mom, you know, is too feeble to drive a stick. I don't know why you even suggested
that. No, I mean, she would, I don't know.
Anyhow, she wanted a stick, and I told her, you know, if you're going to get the car, get the color you want. She fell in love with the Hot Lava, which is like a burnt orange, I guess. Best way to explain.
And Southeast Toyota decided that they weren't going to buy
Southeast Scion.
No, Toyota.
No, Scion.
Same thing.
It's the same company, guys.
Just move along,
whatever.
Guys. Come on.
It was Scion. We call it Scion. It wasn't Toyota. When she
don't
calls,
dabble
it
the minor details. Come
they
on.
They have nice airplanes.
Anyhow, we put a deposit in for the Scion with a local Scion dealership. They promised us the car. A month later, they lied to us and said that Scion doesn't make that color in the FRS anymore.
Damn dealerships.
Yeah, his dealerships. So we had to go outside the Southeast Scion region, and and I found a dealership in Ohio that was willing to order one, exactly what my mom wanted. So we gave him a deposit. I flew up there. They picked me up at the airport. Unfortunately, like most dealerships, they're stupid. So they didn't quite understand or grasp the idea that my mom was buying the car. So when I got up there, the paperwork was all screwed up. So I ended up getting stuck up in Columbus, Ohio for 2 days driving the FRS around town, which was is a beautiful town. I had a great time, you know, even though it was by myself. Went to a comedy show, was able to drive the car around downtown. It took a lot of video footage. I had a great time. The car is great. We're gonna do a whole review on the car, me and Ben and my brother. Hopefully this Saturday we'll start working on that. But the car, I was able to sit in that car and take it through the mountain roads. The car is phenomenal on the mountain roads. I for a stock car and the price range, what you're getting an awesome car. I loved it. I guess I don't know if you want me to go into detail about the things I liked and disliked about it.
Can
I
just say one thing?
You go for it. Go for it.
I just wanted to say that your mom made a great choice in not buying a BMW and buying a Toyota.
Oh. Hey, touche.
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 Yes.
I thought you were going to say something about the gears.
I did.
You know what they say? Mama knows best.
Yeah. Well, you know. Anyhow, I'll take that. But I won't make the same
mistake.
I heard
that discussion on my limo ride in, by the way.
Oh, yeah. How was the limo ride from the airport?
That was pretty good. But I do have to say that I don't like Nissans, and I don't like my own, so I couldn't really get into that discussion. So.
Well, of course, you put a Chevy motor in your Nissan. So
exactly.
Yeah, you just made your Nissan better, so it's okay. Yeah.
Right. And there's not much.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that.
You could make it better, even better, by putting a 2J.
No. Anyways, okay, so we're going to go back on point here. The car driving around town was great. It was definitely different. To come out in the morning and have ice on the car.
Yeah.
It was like 34 degrees.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I was driving my windows down. I was having a blast.
You didn't have your long johns?
Didn't have any long johns. Just had a jacket, T-shirt,
and jeans.
That's
a soldier right there.
I was soaking it up.
Soldier.
Was able to take it. I took it on State Road 313, which cut through to Interstate 77. Mm-hmm. And was able to go on some mountain roads that somebody that's been driving most of our life in Florida, which is flat, straight, boring.
Yes.
I think the one road that we have around here is called Shotgun Road. It has like three turns. Everybody's like, oh, it's the best road in
it's
South
toge,
Florida.
It's toge.
It's
toge. Well, no. What about nine turns?
Where's that at?
It's on the 595, 95, 441 interchange area. There's combination. Well, anyways, go on.
Okay, sorry. You have to take me through that. Yeah. No. But this was like, you know, going through the mountain, going up and down the mountains, going, you know, over crest.
You should have gone to the Tale of the Dragon.
I should have gone to Tale of the Dragon, but since I was already delayed so much, I choose not to make that trip. What's cool about the road I did get to go on is the speed limit was 55 all the way through.
Nice.
That's not bad.
No, Tale of Dragon's like 15 miles an hour all the way through. Isn't it like going to a school speed zone?
30, 35.
Yeah, that sucks.
Actually, it really isn't.
It really isn't suck?
No, it really doesn't suck because – no, and let me explain because the turns, they come in, like there's really not a lot of room for you to pick up speed.
I guess – I don't know. I have to
if
put on it.
You have – I'm sure
I would love it and I would probably –
There's a reason people crash on that all the time.
Yeah.
Because they're idiots.
They're not idiots.
I had a good time on the road. I think the road that I was able to go on would be a great – you can do 55 on it, and I think that is – would probably be more fun if you can point-to-point race that road.
Yeah.
Anyhow, even in the drive down Interstate 77, going through the mountains, going through the tunnels, it was really a good drive. I love the car. It is underpowered.
They wanted it that way.
No, I mean, you know, and it's the price range that's in. I can't say I personally agree with putting a boxer motor in there. I really think I talked to Ben about this other the other day. I was thinking that they should have put like a Beams motor, brought back something like that. I think that would have had more.
Well, the whole thing about this car is they were doing it with Subaru.
Subaru was a collaboration.
So they didn't have to make a motor. They gave that part to Subaru.
Right.
It cut cost down on the making the car.
Yeah. You know, I'm not saying that. The Boxster motor is a great motor. I'm just saying to keep with – I mean, it was an 8.6 themed car. If you're going to gear it as the new 8.6, I think
that – What was really theme about 8.6 about that car?
Front engine rear wheel drive. That's
yeah.
it.
Well, but it doesn't matter.
No, no, no. But no, it's not just that. It's also the driving dynamics too of it.
Oh, the car. Oh,
from
the
8.6. It looks like that.
And you know, one thing me and Ben were constantly talking on the phone as I was driving the car from start to finish. When I first started driving the car, I told him, I was like, you know what was weird? It had a front wheel drive characteristic when I was turning around town. It just, to me, felt like it was a front wheel drive car. I know, that's what Ben said, really. And I was like, well, it just feels like when I'm going around certain turns. But, of course, I wasn't pushing it. I was going slow around the turns and even, you know, just cutting left, you know, at the lights and stuff. When I was able to go faster and go through the mountain roads, it felt like great balance. I didn't feel any understeer. And like I said, I wasn't pushing it. I didn't feel any understeer characteristics or oversteer characteristics that made me feel uncomfortable. The only thing that was uncomfortable for me was driving on roads I didn't know. If I was be able to get familiar with those roads, I would be able to push the car more to its limit. And another thing I didn't like, I guess the two things I can say I didn't like about the car was one, which is very small, minute, is there was a heavy reflection of the dash on the windshield, a lot of glare.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, for me, it bugs me because I see a lot of glare anyways. And the seat. The seat is great when you're going through the mountain roads and when you're in it for a short amount of time. But for a bigger size guy like I am, I'll tell you, I felt like someone was punching me in my back like halfway, you know, back.
That's
home.
How those are, though. Even in my GTI, I mean, the brand new, it just kind of, you kind of had to work it in.
And the car is deceivingly fast. It's you feel the torque. Fast. Well, the fact that you don't realize how fast you're going.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while to be able to judge the speed by feel.
Oh, because you're not turbo. You don't feel that pull.
It is not much power up top. The power is mid-range.
It could also be due to how the power band is being delivered.
That's what I mean. I mean, like, where a turbo, you feel the power come in. Where an A car like that, it's kind of leaner.
Yeah, it doesn't really. Yeah, so it's a little. It's definitely lacking power, but the aftermarket for that car is tremendous.
Yeah,
I like the sound of the engine.
The wheels are hideous. I don't know what they were thinking when they put those wheels on there. They could definitely have picked a better wheel to put on there.
They thought it's going to get changed anyway.
Yeah. Stock wheels are never nice. I mean,
well, a lot of them paint them black.
BMW
anyway,
stock wheels are pretty nice.
Well, a lot of the Scions, they put crappy. There's, I think there was like an RC model or like a regular model of like the Scion TC, and it purposely had crappy wheels. So that people could just change them,
right?
Oh yeah, that was that's in the Japanese market though.
But there was a model over here that they brought over here. It was a TC model that
didn't come with the 18s or
it didn't come with the 18s. It had like the 16s or something like that, and
hubcaps.
And I don't even think it came with a radio either. I could be wrong. I forgot.
That's probably just for like racing teams that are just going to pick up the car. And
no, it's for people that they know that they're going to change the radio and they're going to change the wheels.
It makes sense.
Car builders and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what most of the people do. I actually found out that the FRS is a version of the RC model in Japan.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Except it has a couple of extra things, obviously. But yeah. it doesn't have the 16s that the RC model comes with.
Right.
Yeah, so it's just a stripped-down Toyota 86 from Japan.
Yeah.
But with a few of the options of the 86 GT.
Yeah.
There's more options in Japan?
Oh, yeah. There's
like
different
what?
Trim levels.
There's the RC, which is...
No.
The RC is like a super base model. It has black bumpers, 16-inch steel
bumpers,
wheels.
Really?
Yeah, it's really meant for like a car builder to pick up or a racing team to pick up and just strip it down and build
a race car
out of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a cool idea because you're going to pull the parts off anyways.
Right.
You know, something that's what I should have suggested to Zion at the auto show, to bring over the RC model.
That is true. Well, I mean,
I'm sure you're not the only one that's probably thought about that.
Yeah, but he's the only one that spent had a 2-hour conversation.
True.
With 15 minutes. That,
whatever. 15-minute conversation.
15 minutes.
Give three and,
it,
and a half
giving,
hours.
Like 2 days. Was it Scion or Toyota? Giving Toyota his review on the... On the auto show.
Yeah.
They have personal emails.
My feedback.
Yeah,
regarding
feedback.
The whole,
who does
like,
that?
Bringing the RC model.
Ben.
If you
Captain
go
ben
back,
does.
If you go back to, like, the 60s, a lot of the American companies were making factory drag cars.
Yeah.
And they're still, and Ford is still doing that today with their Cobra jet. You know, so yep. It's like they
Cobra.
Just, you just buy a car and you, and it's, you do a couple things to it and you take it to the track and it's ready to go.
American Muscle.
That's yeah. Right.
But I guess, so my overall opinion of the FRS, I love it. It, like I was telling Ben on the way down here, it is a shame to have that car in Florida. Because I'll tell you right now, that car is at home in the mountain roads. It just feels so planted. It feels, even with the lack of wheel and tire package that's on there, you match it with a good set of wheels, rims, and tires. And that car, even the stock suspension's fine to go around.
Takumi's new car.
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, it really is a shame that you know, whoever has that car in South Florida, it's not a straight line car. That car needs to be driven on mountain roads, and to drive that car through the mountains, and then it's almost depressing to even have that car down here. You know,
unless for autocross.
Unless you autocross,
well,
that's still. It's not even, you know, even autocross. It doesn't, Ben. You know, going through a mountain road or mountain pass is not. Going through an autocross.
Yeah, autocross
compare.
Is literally
no.
15 seconds of cone
And it's
racing.
Right. Cones are flat.
Yeah.
It's
I mean,
the elevation
it's fun,
changes.
But.
It's the fact that you're going through a road.
Yeah.
Not a course.
It's a totally, like, different experience considering the fact, like, well, some of the roads that I've done, when I went over to North Carolina, there was one road in particular where it's Highway 151, and a lot of the locals feel that that's even better than the Tail of the Dragon.
Really?
Yeah, they feel that Tail of the Dragon is overrated.
It is.
And that 151 is actually better, or there's way other roads that are better than the Tail of the Dragon.
Where's 151?
It's by Asheville, North Carolina. It's right around there. By
Is that by Charlotte?
I don't know. I don't. Off the top of my head, I can't.
By
know,
Tennessee.
I don't know my geographical locations.
Okay. Well.
But it's by Blue Something Park. It's a state park.
Okay,
that runs along a mountain, and think of it like
Ridge.
This: you go into the start of the road, and it's just a straight downhill throughout the entire time. It's just
nice.
downhill.
I'll have to look
and
into
it's
that.
Turn after turn after turn after turn. It's like it's literally a roller coaster ride. And
are there
the
spotters?
Crazy part is aside from
You're
all
getting excited just talking about it.
No, it is. It was. It had me like. Going, I have to be focused. You have to be focused in that road because if not, if you make a mistake, it could be deadly. Because you had a mountain to your side, to the right side, going downhill. You had the mountain to the right side, and you had a cliff on your left. So if you fall out into the cliff, either you go straight down like far, or a set of trees will break your fall.
Trees don't. Well, they'll break you.
Yeah. Well, they'll stop you from going even further down from the cliff.
You'll
and
get
then
hurt faster. That's all I mean.
The
means.
Mountain, obviously, is to the side, but some of the mountain actually sticks out onto the road, so you have to sort of, like, move out of the way and take that into account.
So what would you say is the better driving road?
151. Compared
151.
Compared to Tail of the Dragon, 151. Hmm. The difference was, one of the major differences between both of the roads.
And what car were you driving?
Camry.
The Prius.
He wishes
mind you,
Camry.
Toyota Prius.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with the Toyota Prius.
I am not going to hear the end of that.
Let's just mention, he took the downhill.
Yeah. No, I went uphill.
Oh, you went uphill very slowly.
I went uphill.
Downhill with the wind.
You know what's weird? This funny thing is when I was going downhill, the battery was like fully charged throughout the entire time.
Yeah.
I was going uphill, my battery was fully depleted. Throughout the entire time.
Yeah. And poor gerbils.
Poor gerbils.
I'm never going to hear the end of that. It's like, you go on one of the coolest mountain roads ever in a freaking Prius. You should kill yourself.
But you know what? I don't expect anything else from you.
Well, you know.
I really don't.
You can't expect much.
I'm okay with that. I accept that.
But I actually agree with a lot of things that Tim is saying, in particular with what he's saying that having the FRS in Florida is sort of a disservice. It's a waste. I've driven three so far, and as a toot my own horn,
I hate you.
Noel hates me because every single time I drive one, I had to go up to him and I'm like, GT86, check.
Wow.
Just to rub it into his face. It hurts. A Toyota thing.
It hurts really bad.
I do it because, yeah.
Well, at least I can say I have more time behind the wheel than Ben does.
I hate you too.
Yes, that is true.
Of a Toyota, not a BMW.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ouch.
And
I have the original.
It definitely is a waste. Because driving one of the things I realize is how sensitive and how responsive the steering is to all your inputs.
It is. It is very, very responsive. And you know what I liked about it, too, is that when they built that car, you can tell they built that car to be driven. They didn't clutter the steering wheel up with all these buttons.
No, they didn't.
It's simple. It's drive the car. Everything's easily accessible. I mean, they really thought about that. Just, we're going to make a car for people to drive.
Like, sitting in one, in a lot of ways, it reminded me of my MR2. In the sense how basic it is and straight to the point.
And small on the inside?
Yeah, it's small too. But all of the buttons are easy, you know, everything, all of the controls and so forth are
very user-friendly.
Yeah, it's the dashboard is simple, nothing out of the or nothing extreme.
It's not extravagant.
Exactly. Thank you, Rob. Nothing extravagant, straight to the point. And that's great. A lot of people just want a driver's car. And a driver's car is a car that is going to give you excitement when you're driving it. You're not gonna. You don't care so much about what's inside of it. You care about how it makes you feel, how it responds, how it drives, and all of that.
It's a beautiful car, though. Even from the outside,
yeah,
they did a really good job with that.
They even taking some of the cues, design cues from the original 86. They were able to manage to make a good car that's good to look at too.
No, definitely.
If you ignore the wheels,
I do wish that they were when they were designing it that they did like a retro version of the original 86.
Yeah, like how Ford and,
and Camaro.
American muscle cars are getting
with like
14-inch
wheels.
You know,
what? Hello?
I think that would be pretty cool.
Unfortunately.
I agree with you.
But unfortunately, I never.
That would never sell cars.
Exactly. What are you talking about? I think it would.
No.
I don't think so because a lot of the people, they don't. The general consumer does not know that car is based off the original 86. Noel actually stumbled upon somebody. Noel, tell a story.
Well, I was at
quickly.
Work. I was at work. Okay, I'm going to talk really fast.
Are you done?
No. You want to say it? You're taking too long.
Go ahead, Ben. Say it.
Yeah, I'll say it. So he's at work. He's at work.
No,
He steps outside. There's a FRS parked next to his 86. Right, he's like, "Oh, Stan, that's pretty cool. Let me take a photo of it." He took a photo of it. He's like, "All right." Next, you know, the owner comes out. He's talking to him, and the owner
has no idea.
No idea he's going crazy over what's going on.
You mean this was designed after that piece of junk?
Exactly.
That's pretty much what he thought.
And then
cars up for sale.
Yeah, and then Noel tried to straight up trade him, but it didn't really work out. Like, bro, this car's a classic, man. You're going to want this.
While yours is going down in value, mine is going up.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. But that didn't work out.
Not at the same rate, though.
Good try.
But a lot of the guys, they don't know that car is based off some rusty old crap that an old guy or a Puerto Rican is driving around in South Florida.
I am not Puerto Rican, just clarifying that.
Well, you look old with that toupee.
Whoa.
Let the man grow his hair.
Hey, man,
it's a toupee. It's fake.
It's not fake.
It's fake.
You want to pull my hair?
Oh, man.
Whoa.
He pulled your hair last night.
It just got serious.
I did not mean it like
But
now let's talk about this 5-foot bear that's laying down next to you.
No, we don't need to. Hold on. No, let's not veer off track.
And why is his rear end facing you?
I'm telling you, it's comfortable.
Oh, okay. All right.
Nobody
cares.
But
now I'm probably thinking that Tim spoons with it, so I'm not going to get too close with it.
No, no spoons.
Seriously, come on, guys.
Okay,
come
on.
Keep it PG at least.
Yes, okay. So anyways, thanks for the sidetrack, Rod.
PG rated.
So one of the last skip pads, actually, on the third FRS that I got to experience, it was white, it had coilovers, and it had wheels.
White wheels.
Yeah, it had white wheels on it.
That car was sick.
Yeah, it was nice.
Tight,
the only complaints that I had about it was a bit too dropped for the fact that when I actually got sideways with it, back driver's side was rubbing against the body.
Okay, well, that's the Fitbit, you know.
Yeah, but it was flush, yo.
Yeah, but it was only the back left that was really making scrubbing. When I went and put a load on the other side, it wasn't making any noise whatsoever.
Don't the E30s are like that?
Yeah, for some reason, E30s, they have one tire is closer to the fender than the, like, from, like, the left side rear might be closer to the fender than the right side rear. I don't know why, but every E30 is like that.
Oh, weird. That happens with the original Corollas, too, where, but we...
It's not something that happens.
We fix that with how, a Panhard bar.
It is. It's just how it is.
It is how it is.
Yeah. But, you know, even though it had coilovers, had some, you know, the suspension was adjusted a bit, it still felt the same. Really? It still felt the same from, I mean, compared to the other two FRSs that I drove, which were stock, it didn't feel that much of a difference.
So it didn't feel like... When you put coilovers on a 240,
no, it's like putting coilovers on a 240 is night and day difference.
Yeah,
yeah.
Any upgrade that you do to a 240 is night and day difference.
As long as it's not OEM Nissan.
Like for instance, a Civic HF has better brakes than a 240. Okay,
I think my Paul's Trek bicycle has better brakes than a 240.
Yeah. So any sort of modification that you do to 240 does a drastic difference because the car just came that bad from the factory.
There's a reason they don't race them.
Never mind. Right. Anywho. But yeah, it didn't make that much of a difference. And I actually was talking to some of the A6 guys. They were telling me, like, oh, why don't you just get an FRS? I'm like, oh, nah, I guess, whatever. And they're like, oh, what would you do to it? I'm like, I wouldn't do anything to it. I would just leave it how it is.
Of course you would.
With the ugly wheels.
No, I mean, so what? The car is great as it is. I mean, once you drive one, you'll realize it, if it ever, that ever happens.
That ever happens.
I hate you.
But you drive the original, so that's good enough.
Yeah, yeah,
like
same thing.
Noel, let's go test drive tomorrow, a couple of them.
There you go.
I'm down. Oh, wait, you tomorrow, should take your car. I'm installing suspensions.
Oh, shit. Excuses.
I'm bringing my 8.6 closer to the new. But it's not happening.
He's like Iggy from Initial D.
It's a great car.
He has an 8.5. Come on, man. I'm a little better.
See,
than
it sounds just like him. It sounds just like Iggy. Like, Iggy would make the same accord.
But at the end of the day, what else can you say about the FRS that hasn't already been said? Aside from the fact that, yeah, it's a great car to slide. Yes, it's underpowered, especially when you're trying to slide it. Should you buy one? Yes, if you can afford it. And
the drive by wire, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't even tell. It was pretty good.
That's great.
They did a good
job.
Not
like the stupid Hyundai with their laggy throttle on their Genesis.
No, RX-8 was really bad too.
How do you like the motor sound?
The motor sound, you know, that's another thing is that it's the boxer motor, so it has that loud idle.
Yeah.
Ticky idle.
Yeah.
The cheap kind of sounding idle sound I don't like, but yeah. As far as the motor stock, it's not impressive, but.
Well, we hope to do a full review, a video review of the FRS, so that way we could go into more detail regarding it. But at the end of the day, it's a great car.
Definitely.
Even with coilovers and wheels, it still doesn't make that much of a difference, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but, you know, everybody has an opinion.
Oh, I love the car.
So you need a hunter shot like Habino.
100 shot. Okay.
No, not really.
Oh, he's on turbo. But, or he was turbo last year.
Let's move on.
Yeah, but before that, he had like
two
200
something
shit.
That's happening now. BC Racing with Chelsea D'Anofa.
Is that his thing? Did he come up with this? Or
I don't know. But
I think it was
we don't
just
know
a collaboration with Chelsea, Pat, and J-Lo.
Chelsea D'Anofa, Patrick Gooden, and
Jeremy Lowe.
Thank you, Rod. They are putting together a BC Racing virtual drift competition.
And what's at stake?
It's a competition. Hold on. It's a competition that's being held in the Forza 4 video game for Xbox 360. And in it, you have the opportunity to win some free prizes, one of them consisting of free coilovers for your vehicle. And what's some other stuff?
I don't know. I just want the coilovers.
Yeah, that's what's on
everybody's
mind.
Wait. You can win coilovers?
Yes. Yeah, you can win coilovers.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, why didn't nobody tell me this?
Well, now you know. No one knows how to battle. G.I. Joe.
American hero.
I heard you win swag, and that's why I say stop.
But what if you already have swag?
I heard swag, and then I'm done.
Originally, swag was like gear or like free stuff. I remember like
shirts.
Years ago. Yeah, until all these idiots started using swag as a form of
like being how you cool. carry yourself. A slang way to say to sound and look cool,
which they should drink
to get your swag on. Yo.
Yeah.
I love his swag.
They should all take shots of bleach.
Okay. How about Drano?
Drano Noel tells me that they are using the what track?
Iberian Mini, which is a fictional track.
Yes, indeed. And you'll do a run, whatever car it could either be. As long as it's rear-wheel drive, you can't use an all-wheel drive car or front-wheel drive car. And it has to be, you can use any sort of tires. And once you do your run, you record it, upload it to your storefront, and submit it over to BC Racing so that way they can review it.
Well, usually that course is really, like, there's nothing special to it. But the line that they're
yeah, but it looks like I saw something. It was just one turn.
No. It's the full lap. You do a full lap, and the thing that makes the competition difficult is not so much the course. It's the line on the course that they're expecting you to take. And I've been doing a few practice runs, and I play Forza every day, and it's given me a hard time, like, to put down a good run.
Okay, I have two questions, though. First question is, how do they judge it?
Well, you take a lap, you save the replay, you put it on your storefront, you put BC, your last name, as the title, and you put a BC Racing Virtual Drift in the description, you fill out all this other stuff, and then they go and look at it. And they're going to choose a top eight. And then from there, they tandem battle.
Keep talking.
Okay, and whoops. So they you tandem battle, and from there, I mean, they just start picking out winners, you know?
Okay, and my other question was, why Forza over Gran Turismo, which I think
that was the stupidest decision ever.
Yeah, that was horrible, although I love Forza more, but anyway. I remember.
Who plays Gran Turismo anymore?
Yeah, Forza,
I do.
1998, bro.
Is it better? Is it Gran Turismo better than Forza?
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Not at all.
Yes, it is.
No way.
Well, I guess I'm the only one.
Yeah.
You don't even belong here.
You got
right now.
All of your idiots. Well, except for Tim, because Tim isn't involved.
Yeah, I don't play anymore.
Well, you know, it's all based on opinion, but I remember.
No, it's based on fact.
Oh,
all right.
Your opinions are facts, I guess. Anyway, I remember about a month or two back, BC Racing posted on Facebook Forza or GT5. Like, they wanted to see what people would respond. And I guess Forza won, so then they just went along with that.
So what you're saying is that people that play GT don't really care about drifting?
No, people that play GT just don't know about drifting at all.
Really?
Oh.
Well, the vast majority, apparently, because Forza got the win.
Of course.
So would that mean that Forza is a more popular game?
Forza is a more popular game, and it's, like I say, it's all an opinion. You know,
I strongly disagree.
There's pro drivers that say Forza, there's pro drivers that say Gran Turismo. To be honest, they're both console games, and they're not up to par with games or simulators like Live for Speed or R-Factor or things like that. Or even now that they have iRacing, which I hear is like the top level simulator.
iRacing?
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's a computer simulator, like online racing
Speed.
Simulator. But
more extreme.
But, you know,
you have to pay for it like on a monthly basis or something like that.
What?
You know,
yeah. There's some racing simulators that you either pay for a yearly subscription or a month to month.
Yeah, I also was watching some. I went to PRI this last weekend for like half a day with Chris Jackson.
World famous
Chris Jackson. And they had some pretty serious racing simulator games that were like all hydraulic. And it was pretty
the
cool.
The ones that you see in some of the theme parks? Or arcade
games?
No,
way better. No,
way better.
No, like home built kind of things.
Yeah, with the actuators. Yeah, and it was pretty serious. It was nice. Okay. So as far as this BC drifting, when is this good till? And
well, it started earlier today, which is Friday, December 7th. Is it at 5 p.m. And it's going all the way till Sunday, December 9th, till midnight.
Oh, so this weekend?
Yes, this whole weekend. So you got plenty of time to practice.
No, I don't.
Well, by the time this podcast comes out, it's probably over.
Well, it's going to be far from over, but I don't have time.
But question. So once you send your video in,
yeah,
then what? They just pick the top winners and that's it, are they going to do a tandem battle or what?
They review all of them. They pick a top eight, and then they
top
go
top eight.
Yeah, top eight. They're trying to keep it small, I guess, for each.
You know how many? How are you going to do that?
I don't know.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of entries.
They're going to have a lot of entries. I mean,
they're going to get tired of watching all the videos, and they're going to be like, "Oh, the first eight that we see that are semi decent, we'll just."
I wonder how the judging. You think the judges
probably look at the
biased?
Names? Go, oh, we
oh,
know who
that's
that
a good question.
That's a good question. Now we're talking about
how are they going to judge it?
How are they going to judge it?
And is
smoke angle?
You can't judge smoke in Forza.
Yeah, there's barely any freaking smoke. See, that's one of the reasons why that game sucks.
I agree with you on that.
Look, it's like puff, 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 puff.
That's great.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Puff, 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 puff.
That's
so
great.
Fake.
I think the physics are better.
Look,
that's me.
In GT 5, the smoke is realistic.
Why are you talking about visuals?
Yeah, but what does it matter when the smoke's behind
it matters
you?
Because it prepares you for real drifting
when you
have to deal with a cloud of smoke that you have to drift through.
If you really want real smoke, you've got to play Grid.
I like Grid. Grid was fun.
Grid had a lot
I enjoyed Grid.
To me, when I was driving, I felt like I was actually drifting. It was fun to me.
I enjoyed it. That game was a lot of fun. That was fun.
What happened to it? How come nobody plays it?
They're making another one.
They're making a Grid 2, supposed to come out sometime 2013, I think in spring.
I think the problem with Grid is just it was too easy to throw the car sideways. I think that was one of the complaints.
Yeah, I could start a drift at sixth gear from a standstill.
Yeah, and
I was like, sweet, but
that game was really only good for drifting. Everything else sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything else.
I remember the competitions at the Arrowcade Barbecue.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I remember that.
Yeah.
They were like, what the heck?
Yeah.
When I was playing.
Yeah, because Ben would not give up the controller. He was just annihilating everybody.
Well, you know, sorry, but I sometimes like to.
Sometimes. Anyhow.
Show off my skills.
Let's go on to the next one.
So, going back to real life, IRL.
LOL.
What?
IRL.
In real life.
In real life.
Oh, that's a new one for me.
Not Indy Racing League.
No.
In real life.
Yeah. This is one of the topics that Jen from DeSoto, Sarasota, suggested that we talk about. Should event organizers standardize tech requirements?
Yes.
Now, easily,
absolutely.
That's a simple, yeah. Yes. Definitely a yes.
It just makes it easier when you go from event to event. You already know what you're supposed to have. You know,
that's great.
That means other places are going to have to start teching.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
Places don't tech.
We're fine. We made a push for this last year to up the tech and enforce tech at County Line and all the drift session events. I carried that over to USDC as well. When I was helping out with USDC do an event, we actually, tell you the truth, when I started up enforcing the tech at County Line, it was to prep these guys for the USDC event and the King and County Line event, and they need to start stepping it up.
Yeah.
Now, we're used to doing that.
Stop using a belt to tie your battery down.
Tie your battery down, just period.
Yeah.
And get all your lugs done. Get, you know,
so
have
electrical tape is not a good idea
to tie it down?
Unless you wrap it around your body.
Don't use a 1985 helmet. Should not pass. No. Bicycle helmet should not pass.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, are we going to have a problem down here in South Florida? No, we won't have a problem because most of the guys are used to that. Is Jen and Steve-O, are they going to enforce this? And how much whining and crying are the people going to do up there? I can imagine.
We get tons of whining and crying
and complaints of, you know, when we push people, when we fail people through tech.
That's because of South Florida.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. They're going to have the same problem when they do up there. And I do agree that the organizers should all standardize tech requirements, and we're just talking about basic things. We're not asking for much.
We're not SCCA.
We're not SCCA. We're not doing a lot of.
Try
stuff.
Doing some SCCA.
Exactly. These guys don't do that.
You think your tech rules are a
ridiculous.
Little outstanding? Try going through some like national sanctioned events.
I've never, yeah, I've never
like
had to deal
any
with
kind
that.
Of road racing or even like actual real drag racing, not just bracket racing or whatever.
Yeah,
or amateur hour.
Steel brake lines, yeah. Cross.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, that being said, we're already doing that down here, and I would love to see Jen enforce that up at DeSoto.
Yes.
As well as when Pat runs OSW, although Pat did, they did run people through tech when we did an OSW event.
Okay.
So you can't really say, you know, much about that. Pat did when he was did do an event. He did enforce tech. CFRC, not that I know of. I've never been tech there. No. So I've even heard them say, oh, you know, tech your own cars. You guys should know what you need. And
D1-2000.
We know that is not true. So should we? Yes, I think we should. We do feel bad for them trying to enforce it because I know they're going to have some problems with that.
Yeah, in that regard, the one time I don't want to complain or say anything about
sure you
anybody.
Do.
Hater.
Yeah, I'll say it anyway.
Hated it.
The one time I went to CFRC with Eric Coughlin.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he just paid at the gate, dropped the car off the trailer, and got on track. I was like, really? Is that easy? So I could bring my Corolla over here?
Because, oh, yeah. Well, no. To our defense, we did let... we have let Noel take his car on the track. Of course,
Which was a mistake.
It was more of like...
If it was me running tech...
I wasn't there for that. What happened?
Look, if it was me running
tech... Not much happened.
Not much happened.
I wouldn't even have let him into the track if it was me running tech. I was like, Noel, what? Trying to drift? Get it? No, he's banned. I would have put up a photo of him on the front gate so that way he's not allowed.
Why are you standing?
It was kind of like... Paul, I guess you could explain it. It was like...
Stretch my legs.
Remember we went up to Ocala for Jay's wedding and we took that John boat?
Yeah.
It was like watching a John boat go around a lake.
Oh,
that's pretty much what it was.
Well, people watching were saying that my rear bumper was about to hit the ground. I was like,
yeah,
wow.
So it was nice. Slow and uneventful.
But you were having
what?
Fun,
no,
right?
It was eventful for the wrong reasons.
Hold on. Noel, did you have fun?
Noel had
no,
fun.
He didn't.
Somewhat.
No,
somewhat.
Didn't.
I was like,
more
this car needs a lot of work.
I'm sure he was panicking. He was like, what is this guy?
It's not Noel's fault. You know, he's doing best with what he's got, which is...
He's making a comeback,
I think at least the event organizers should have some of the basics.
I think
at least come to terms with some of the basics, like basic helmet requirements.
Helmet, seatbelts,
lug
pants,
nuts.
Come on, people.
Long pants, lug nuts, battery
tied down.
It's
not that difficult.
It's not that hard work. I mean, you're not asking for much.
Yeah.
If you go to a regular test and tune drag night, you need a proper helmet and you need to wear long pants.
Probably even long sleeves, I'm guessing.
And
regular shirt. If you're doing test and tune, once you start getting to a certain time, you do. But
and some of the bigger drag strips, they even want you to cover your positive terminal and not with
we've been doing that, making sure people cover their positive terminal because if the battery does move, more so in drifting than in drag.
Oh, yeah.
The battery's going to move around.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of weird things happen at County Line.
Yes, we
you
have.
You know what's one of my fears?
Yeah. Yes,
thinking to looking back to going back again to Frankenslide to that RX-7 going over. Imagine if it would have been another car. Imagine if it would have been a Miata, per se.
Yeah, because that car I heard was built well.
Imagine it would have been my
car. The car that went over.
Yeah, it had a cage. It had everything.
Yeah, imagine if it was one of these guys who knows if they have a seatbelt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of brings up another thing is there's the other event that we don't talk to too much is KMS, where they allow convertibles without roll bars.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I've seen that.
Yeah,
they do allow convertibles without roll bars. That I definitely disagree with, though we do, of course, let non-cage cars tandem in County Line. So I'm sure people do frown upon that and say, oh, you know, count on, you know, they do whatever, you know, nobody cares about it. But that's not really true. Our track isn't that fast. We've never had an incident where that's even been an issue.
Thankfully not.
Thankfully
we've
not.
We've had people smash into the wall.
We've had people smash into walls.
Okay.
But we have been very strict.
Or break
very
their
strict
noses.
On convertibles with roll bars. That is something that we have zero tolerance, though there have been a few that have slipped through the cracks.
Right.
And we've caught halfway through because they're running with their top up. And, you know, we caught them and They put a roll bar in. They come back and it is what it is.
I seriously don't understand how you let Noel in. His car has so much rust. If he were rolled over, it would have just caved in.
Progressive weight reduction.
Why do we keep going back to Noel?
Progressive weight reduction.
That is just an example.
I accept how crappy my car
is.
Noel's
car is an example of when an event organizer goes lax on tech requirements.
Oh, my God.
You're not tagging my car.
Yeah.
I should be.
Listen.
By February, if I'm starting to drive, I hope.
Wait, hold on. I don't think that came out right. I don't think that came out right, but whatever. The point is, your car should not be allowed on the track. And yes, yes, your car should not be allowed on the track. And
still
yes,
faster than your MR2.
Should be whatever.
Standardized.
Should be standardized. You got to sit down with these guys and try to come up with something. Start up a union or something.
A union.
A drift what union. I really want to see and do and implement is a South Florida, you know, pretty much Florida.
Database?
Driver day database.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But isn't that
Drift Wizard? No.
Isn't that what that was supposed to be?
They tried it. I don't know.
No, I mean a real database of people and registration.
Yeah.
Not just it is because the problem is when you let something out there for anybody to register,
yeah,
you know, and get a part of, they do it. And you know, you have a bunch of people that don't drift. Registered on something that's supposed to be only for drivers.
So then we need to do it at the events. I wanted to talk to you about this, putting up, whenever you do the tech, is putting up a photo booth right after so that we could get a headshot of the driver.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm working on that, trying to create something where we can have the guy's profile picture,
yeah,
have all his car information, and then just be able to print it out, you know, type deal.
Okay.
The other thing I think is drivers can pay to, you know, be a part of the organization. You know, it doesn't have to be a lot of money.
And try to get some sponsors
$5
and stuff. You know,
I'm thinking
maybe
$5 or whatever it would cost to get them, like, a placard.
Okay.
To put on their car.
Get them a placard to put on a car.
That has their number and their name
and
the organization.
We can get some sponsors to just kind of help support it and give the certain enrolled or the people that are enrolled in it, like, certain discounts.
Well, why?
More incentive to sign up, because there's got to be – people aren't going to sign up unless there's some kind of incentive.
Right. Not everybody's going to want to go pro.
We're not talking about pro.
People are trying to keep drifting fun here.
Oh.
And grassroots.
Forgot about the KDF. What? Forgot about that.
All right.
But – yeah. I don't know.
But
it seems more organized. It's just better.
It is.
I mean, when you're talking about making everybody standardized stuff, especially tech –
okay.
This could make tech really easy, because if he's been tech somewhere else, you usually know he's somewhat on point.
Okay.
You know, if everybody's sharing data like that, I mean, which we should be by nowadays, you know.
Yeah.
We should be a little
technology.
Bit more using technology.
Yes.
And so, I mean, I would like to see that.
Look, you know what would be the perfect opportunity for somebody or for us to be able to conceive or be able to perform this idea that you have is if you Tim actually gets together with these other people to do that
exactly.
Drift series.
Exactly.
Because that'll be the perfect opportunity
to
standardize the tech, get the database of drivers, and get Florida together to be able to do a series like that.
Yeah, you look like a ninja standing around, because I can only see your eyes. Just thought I'd say that.
Whatever.
Afro ninja over here.
I also think that's
Afro
also
samurai.
A pretty good idea for, like, the people who are looking into the future to run a pro-am or a pro series. It helps them. It helps sponsors look up drivers a little bit easier.
That is true.
It
does help the driver. It'll help. It really. It helps the drivers. It helps the organizers. It's a win-win situation.
I mean, even if you're running SCCA, you have to sign up. You have to register and you have to pay.
Yeah.
Not only that, in SCCA, I believe you have to go to some certain amount of driving school as well.
Yeah, which is not cheap.
Which is not
and
cheap.
I'm not talking about making people pay lots of money to get into drifting.
No.
What I'm saying is the only price there would be is to basically pay for their
placard.
You know, placard.
Yeah.
Hey,
okay, and a lot of people want to
have
that. It'll
be like a membership fee then.
You know what? A lot of people will put their placard on their car. I mean, you got the certain people that, oh, I want my car to be super clean. But
who?
They would love. Yeah, good point.
Really?
But they would love to. Sean McQueen. But I know Sean McQueen, if he had a door placard, he would leave it on his car. And it's like a.
It's almost like a trophy.
Yeah, it is. You know,
people officially made your car into a race car.
Yeah. Right, I like
because race car, bro.
Yeah, actually,
because science.
I can't wait till go to a SWD event and I can have my name and my number up on there in my car. It just makes it so much more official.
Yeah,
yeah. But just making the sticker yourself is just not the same thing.
No.
When you get it from an organization,
I'm gonna tape up a sticker on the side of my car. Whatever. That doesn't look cool. You know?
Yeah, because it'd rust off and fall out. Anyways.
Oh, geez.
Oh, yeah. Noah was actually planning on recreating the D1 Grand Prix sticker so that way he could put it on his car and be cool. But luckily, though, he doesn't know how to work a printer.
Oh my God.
Oh. Ben makes you have to be like,
wow. Yeah.
You like to bro, you're a douche, man. Seriously, yeah. Bro.
I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
Yeah, you know you want to.
I'm just going to beat you up after
Tim,
this.
Let's switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
You got Wise Fab. What's that all about? Seriously.
Okay.
Right quick. I know people are like, why is
what's this
run
blue
looks
stuff?
So weird?
Why is it all blue?
It's the anti-spin.
It's the anti-spin kit. What I could say, there's Wise Fab. There's a couple other kits. The Sean Love makes kit, the SLR kit.
But he doesn't make it for 240 as far as I know.
He doesn't make it for 240s yet. I know he's working on it. I'm pretty sure he's working on it. Or he has. He just hasn't gone to production yet.
Or he's making a sandwich.
Wise Fab. I love my Wise Fab kit. What it did to my... You know, a lot of people don't like it because their complaints are you can't adjust it. You know, we want to fine-tune it.
It's not FD legal.
It's not FD legal for some reason. Now, I can see why the E36 kit may not be FD legal because it doesn't utilize all the OEM bolts as far as the top of the strut, but the E30 kit does. I like the E30 kit better than the E36 kit. As far as driving, I love it. You drove the car?
I did, but I never really got a chance to utilize the entire amount of
It's not so much utilizing it. It changes the way the car drives.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, the car rotates almost. It feels like the car is like on a caster, I guess you could say, where I feel like the car is just rotating around me versus I'm rotating around the front tires. I don't know if that makes any sense.
What I've noticed what the system does.
I'm just telling you the truth.
Yeah, no, I know. It feels like I'm more sitting still and just turning left, like the car's pivoting around me, like almost, it's weird. That's the difference between the feeling.
I felt it very weird during the switchbacks. I felt like the front was disconnected from the rear. And it was a weird experience. Like, on my own accord, I could be wrong, or, you know, you could feel something different. But from my perspective, it was like, what the heck is going on here? But the switchback, fine, you know.
The switchback's good. The steering return in transitions is better than it was before.
Uh-huh.
And it does act as a steering quickener because you have the same ratio with much more travel. Mm-hmm. So your steering correction isn't as drastic. A lot of people don't like it because you don't run the front sway bar anymore.
Uh-huh.
Once you put the kit on, you don't run the front sway bar.
That's only on the E30.
On the E30?
Yeah, I think the S13s run sway bars.
The S13, everybody that I've read about loves the kit. The
people over in Europe are putting that kit on. And
Asbo with his Supra running that kit?
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's another thing. Asbo loves the Wise Fab kit.
That was insane.
Yes. So the Supra kit, I feel that Wise Fab is the best kit on the market right now as far as
most
engineering.
Most engineered. Now, see, if you look at their kit, everything is engineered with that. They put it in a computer system, and what it seems that they do is they get the wheel to be able to turn flat. If you ever see like how wheels turn naturally on cars, uh-huh, they camber throughout their turning. When you put a Wise Fab kit on, it pretty much levels that out.
Yeah, but some of the professional drift tuners and stuff I read up a lot on Michael Gima stuff, and he actually likes the fact to run a lot of casters so he could get a camber gain as the car is turning. So what would you say about that? I mean, is it just a preference?
It would be a preference on per driver.
I think I'm talking about more a positive camber. It eliminates positive camber. So you're not standing on the outside of your the inside tire of your drift, it flattens out.
I mean, the car, the kit is well designed. It handles great. I don't have any crazy, you know, standing straight, going straight, it's about 6.5 degrees negative camber in the front. But, you got these people that are all into setup and tweaking every little aspect of their suspension, and sometimes I think it gets in the way of their driving. Sometimes you gotta drive it.
There's something wrong.
Yes, I know of one person in particular who is bonkers over the
setup.
Over everything, the centimeters, the fine tuning of every single thing, and it's like, dude,
just drive the car.
Stop and just drive it. Stop being such a nerd about it.
Yeah, you have to. There's a point
and
where
another
person
is going to be listening too.
Yes.
The way.
And it's also
the thing is about that, I see the same thing about his car. I don't like the way it looks. I don't like the way it drives.
Paul thinks his car is too wide track.
We're talking about Giacomo here.
Yes.
Yeah, Giacomo.
Oh, he's not gonna like this. But okay, go on.
It doesn't matter.
When I watch him drift and I watch him slide and I watch that car slide, it seems to hate. It doesn't want to. It doesn't feel like it wants to be doing anything of the sort.
Do you think with a WiseFab kit?
No, I'm not even saying with the WiseFab kit. I'm saying with...
I have to ask. I'm sorry. I'm curious.
Well, first thing, there's no WiseFab kit for...
Yet. You never know.
You don't need a WiseFab kit for that car. There's angle mods that'll make as much angle as a WiseFab kit.
It's not about... That's what I'm trying to tell you.
It's not about the angle.
Let Paul finish, Noel. Come on.
It's not about the angle. With the WiseFab kit, they also
correct the geometry. The geometry of the steering is
you have to drive it. You know what I mean? To say anything.
Yeah.
But so what you've said so far look, what you've said so far about Giacomo and his car and how it looks the dynamics of it, I've actually had an intervention with him about it. So he knows.
You know what it's reminiscent of?
Intervention.
It's reminiscent.
No lie.
It's reminiscent of Tim's car when he couldn't slide it.
Now that's actually what I wanted to ask him.
When he had the same wheels.
Okay. Now that you got your WiseFab, have you spun out ever since?
Yeah.
Well, I have spun out, but it was when I did the one big spin out that I had when John slammed in front of me. That was a wheel clearance issue where the wheel actually was getting...
He has too much angle.
It was too much angle, and the inside of the rim was grinding on the brake line bracket. And as I was coming out of turn, I was turning hard.
He was shaving parts of his rim.
I shaved about a 5-foot strand of aluminum off my wheel that day because as I was turning into it, trying to not spin, I was... breaking the wheel harder.
Most of the time when he spins out with the WiseFab kit is lack of power.
Yeah, either I'm bogging down or...
Oh, boy.
I come to a dead stop.
You just reminded me of the ride-along that I had with you at PBIR.
Right.
When you did it for the first time with your car, with the WiseFab kit, trying to go for extreme backwards entry, and a lot of times it didn't work out.
Yeah, it didn't work out. The PBIR is a tricky thing for me because trying to figure out where to initiate... and how long to ride it. Plus, it was, I did learn a lot that day, even though I failed it up a lot.
And it definitely didn't help that your car's ventilation system isn't that well. And all the smoke from the tires would build up inside of the cabin.
And you could not see.
When you actually are exiting or finishing the track, there's this big light that's shining towards the car.
There was one run where we spun out. I had to spin out. I had to stop because I could not see anymore outside the
window. Nobody could see. I couldn't see. I was like, Tim, where are you? I'm lost.
I know. There was so much smoke inside the car because I didn't have any arm restraints. But anyways, going back to the WiseFab, I love the WiseFab kit. It was well designed. I think that people get too many complaints about they want to be able to adjust it, but you really don't need to adjust it.
Who would you recommend the WiseFab kit to?
Everybody. I love it. I'll tell you right now, hands down to me is if you're going by fun factor modifications, it made drifting more fun than any other modification
it's
I put on my car.
Keeping it as fun as possible.
Yeah, yeah. And
it
I don't think people
you heard
notice,
it here first.
I don't think people notice that. Is it really?
They
makes,
think it's a cheap
it
mod, actually.
It, they think it's something stupid.
Well, so yeah. is a V8. You know, it's like, know. What are you going to say? Oh, because you have more angle. And let me tell you something. I like how that, oh, FD, they're outlawing it and this and that. Let me tell you, Michael Essa has something on the hell on front of his car.
Yeah,
these guys
has,
have
has,
crazy angle. Yeah, I've yeah. seen these guys come in backwards. And they don't have Wise Fab, but they got something.
They have
they're
something,
doing
yeah.
they're doing something. Everybody, all these guys so
that BMW hacks.
Well, the thing is for somebody to say that, oh, you know, well look at Harry. Harry's got a lot of angle too. His car, he has a lot of steering.
Well,
angle.
He has I don't know if it's exactly like an SLR kit, but
no, he has his own. He does he made
well,
his own.
Yeah,
he made
what it. About what about Conrad? In the Camaro.
Yeah, he has a
he
lot.
He has
lot.
Sick angle.
Well, see, and that's my point. So
Conrad Grunewald.
For those people that are saying, Wise Fab is cheating, they're just haters because it has nothing to do with that.
No,
I don't think most people. If people put the DriftWorks kit on their car, all these people are trying to get more angle. Let me tell you something. When you get more angle, whether you use Wise Fab or something else, it kind of just takes that you're always worried about spinning. And you know, in a stock car, your how can you say the point of no return comes
yeah.
up fast.
Yeah.
Once yep. you get more angle, you can drive harder.
Yeah.
You have that extra angle. Now, the thing is in just solo drifting, throwing all the angle out is great, but having all that angle in competitive drifting is not necessarily a good thing because you need with more angle, you lose speed. Wise Fab or not, Wise Fab doesn't help you maintain speed. The only thing that's going to help you maintain speed is you go faster and you carry more momentum so you can
right.
throw it sideways more. But
with
a
1,200 horsepower 2J.
Well, exactly. Well,
yeah.
But, you know, Wise Fab doesn't make you a better driver, but it definitely takes
that burden.
A 2J
does.
A 2J does, yes.
No.
Most people count Wise Fab out. Because they say, oh, I can get a, what is it?
SLR kit.
Nobody says SLR kit. they either talk about powered by Max kit
by
something like that.
Oh, it's
or
cheaper.
Somebody else's welded spindles.
Steering rack spacers.
Some people will have the dream of going pro, so they want to keep the car legal. And that's the
and,
there's
and
nothing
see,
illegal
and
about
there's nothing illegal about WiseFab, especially in a 240 kit. There's nothing illegal about it. And that's why.
Except for the name.
Huh? Anyways, the name
they don't want it in there.
Right. If you painted it, took Wise Fab off it and said it was a custom kit, they would let it go. So
yeah.
I disagree with them because there are so many other things that they could pick on.
I blame Andy Yen.
Oh.
You said it wrong on me.
Anyways. Yeah.
Wise Fab, great thing. Everybody should have one.
Yes, I love my Wise Fab. It is expensive. It is expensive, but I think it was well worth the
investment. What people got to think when they think about purchasing Wise Fab, it's going to change the way your car feels. Okay.
Well,
now,
obviously.
Okay.
Hurt your
bank
account.
No. See, because you do an angle mod, yeah, it gives you more angle. It usually doesn't, like the spindle mods, it doesn't usually change the way your car feels. A Wise Fab kit changes the way your dynamics on your car are. It just changes it all up.
I love it.
And I'm happy for you, Tim.
That's good.
I'm happy that you're happy.
Thank God you got rid of that welded diff.
Oh, yes. That was.
That's another thing. Welded diffs don't work on E30s for some reason.
Yeah, for some reason.
I mean, they do. Because
I don't like them.
Based on his German heritage, sees that, oh, it's a stupid welded. Oh, blah, blah, blah.
It works great on E36, though.
It treats it like a disease, so it tries to fight it off.
Would work better on a Toyota.
Huh?
What?
Would work better in a Toyota?
So tomorrow I'm going on a road trip, guys. I am ditching the skip pad, which is sad for me because I look forward to every skip pad to hijack.
Oh, so you're not going to be here tomorrow?
I'm not going to be here. I look forward to every skip pad to hijack people's cars. No, not hijack. I'm sorry. help people.
Confiscate. No.
Confiscate. Yes, you do.
Yes. I do.
Get out of the driver's seat. I'm going to drive.
I do it as
you
a
suck.
Service.
You're doing it wrong.
But I just connected the truck.
I do it as a service.
Oh, there's enough for us. Let me make Noel jealous.
Yes. I do it as a service. On behalf of Drift Sessions and Conline Dragway to help people out to get
better.
I would say
themselves.
That we are at Drift Sessions and Conline Dragway, we cater more for the new drivers than any other venue.
I agree.
Any other venue that I've been to.
Okay.
And it's very good.
We are always there, ready to help, give helping hands.
Even if a lot of them, which, of course, a lot of them don't want the help. But, hey, whatever. I just force myself in there somewhere. I'm like, you suck. Oh, what are you talking about? Look, let me show you.
That's something wrong with my car. It's just not set up right. You can't drift. Ben's like, get out of the driver's seat.
Exactly. I'll prove
there's nothing wrong with your car, even though it's an MR2 with the T70 turbo.
T78
turbo.
T78.
Well, whatever. It slides fine.
Yeah. But, yeah, none of that's going to happen tomorrow. Instead, I'm going to be making my way over to Cape Coral to meet up with the Cape Coral guys.
Nice.
I'm a duty. Dayron Plana. The Cape Coral Killer?
Keep an eye on Dayron. Dayron's got to make it to the King County Line finals.
I don't know if he's driving. I do know that he...
he was on a dyno.
He was on a dyno. How much did
he
pull?
He was setting up
like 280?
270, 280, something like that.
270, 280 horsepower and torque.
And he needs to keep that car together for the final round.
Hopefully so.
They're dropping like flies.
Oh, boy.
I'm meeting up with the guys up there and making my way over to DeSoto. Hanging with Jen, Rob Fleming. Mars. Patrick Gooden. I hear Patrick Gooden's up there.
Mars.
Hey, yes. Gooden. Media guy. FloridaRacing.org.
Maybe? Yes. Love that guy.
Yes, indeed. Old school. For their Driftmas event, a yearly event that they've been having, celebrating Christmas.
Yes.
All things Christmas.
Everything
Christmas.
Christmas.
They have a toy drive going
on, like
too,
drifting.
Right?
I believe
Yay!
So.
Yes. I like drifting.
So that should be interesting. Hopefully in the next podcast, I'll be talking about my experience over there, if I can remember most of it.
Yeah.
Usually I don't, since my memory is getting bad now that I'm getting
old.
Like Tim.
Hey.
Ginkgo Biloba, my friend.
But it should be great. Last year, I heard that Rob Fleming got crazy. He made somebody fall off the golf cart that he had as he was going up a hill. He caused mayhem. I don't know if you saw on the forum, but Jen was like, Ben, I'm going to need you to come up to the Soto because Rob's not going to be able to announce throughout the entire time.
And then there goes drifting.
Yeah, drifting is now over.
Okay, guys.
In Florida, at least.
We are. Hold on.
We're at
2 hours?
2 hours.
No way.
Wow.
Good Lord.
2 hours.
All right, let's just skim through these last two topics. And just right quick. Actually, who cares about the end of the year awards? We could talk about that afterwards. But one of the things I'm most interested to see is who gets to win the worst driver award.
Worst driver award. Oh, that was my submission.
Yes, it was, Paul.
And it won.
Well, they got one of the most
likes. It's going to win.
It's going to, yeah. But I want to see who is going to be crowned the worst driver award.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
What is it going to be based off of?
No, okay. The first week, we, suggest the polls, the topic ideas.
Yeah.
Right? Second week is we suggest the nominees for that particular topic idea.
Feelings are going to get hurt.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the third week is where everybody votes, and we'll have, by the end of the year.
And then it goes under their name.
It'll be under their
stuck
name.
Stuck under their name.
So last year, for instance, we had Patrick Gooden win the most likely to win a
are those
major
going
sponsor.
Down?
Yeah, they'll be down.
Okay. Oh.
You won the best built red, Rod Becker.
I did.
Yay! I like
Leo from West Palm
Yay!
Beach. He got the worst troll, most hated person on the forum.
Right.
And I
Solo Koopy.
But yes, that is the end of the
year
awards.
He's going to get that again.
Probably.
Definitely check that out. It's on the site discussion section of the forum. Place your suggestions, your nominees, and place your votes. It should be interesting. And if you win, congratulations. If you lose, feel great because you do not want to be the worst driver.
Yeah.
You do not want to have that.
There's
award.
No congratulations to winning that
and
one.
And a quick shout out or a quick topic discussion to the USCC event, the next one coming up. Tim, take it away.
Okay, so I guess instead of making this open discussion, what I'll do is I'll just take this time to explain, not really in detail too much, because like with the Florida series that we're thinking about doing, nothing's really set in stone, but I will tell you that 2013 will probably be a big year for USDC. We'll be back.
Okay.
The venue that is being looked at, which I was there just last week scoping out with Chris Jackson, is the Dolphin Stadium, Sun Life Stadium.
Okay.
They have a pretty good sized lot. Yes, of course, parking lot, but there's some elevation changes.
Dolphin Stadium, which played host to the Nopi Drift a couple of years back, if you guys are familiar.
If you guys are familiar with Nopi Drift.
Not that area, though.
Not that area. That area was the bus parking. The area that we will be using will be probably three times the size of that.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Thank God.
Yes.
So it won't be chewing up cars like
It won't be chewing up cars.
No, well, Nopi put like, let's put 10,000 K-rails and see what happens.
Yeah.
Let's make this a death trap.
Right.
Let's make this a maze of K-rails.
So USDC, along with conjunction with Drift Sessions, will be working together again to make that event hopefully four times a year.
Nice.
We will try to definitely work that in to it. If there is a Florida series, we'd love to work that venue in to the Florida series. USDC seems to have some serious interest as far as sponsor backing. If everything falls through, this is definitely something that USDC will be around for a while. Now, I have to kind of brush up on this just because this was... USDC, Chris got a letter from apparently a judge from FD.
Okay.
And it was a threatening letter saying that if you do not change your name, you will be sued. Chris is using their name, US Drift, to better their own venue to gain. Right. Well,
dun, dun, dun. Yeah, but
this is the funny thing. They did a search on US Drift, which is what they are claiming. There is no incorporation, U.S. Drift, in Virginia or any company. There was never any trademarking. So the letter was false threat. And when he tried to return the calls, there was nothing said about that. So, you know, it's a shame that there are people out there that just they think they're something special and they're really not. Just because they're...
What happened to KDF, bro? I thought, you know,
whoa,
we're our bros here.
Yeah, well, it's... That's what I'm saying. Is why do you send a letter threatening to sue on something you have no grounds?
It's so crazy.
I mean, although it's a small change in the name, you added the word circuit to it. It's not just US Drift. I remember that back in the day, and it was just.
It was like Drift Sessions.
Yeah, it was like Drift Sessions. There was a Drift Session.
In Hawaii.
Yeah, in Hawaii.
And I made a phone call before we even decided to. And I called them up and I said, listen, I want to use Drift Sessions. This is what my goals are. Is this going to be okay with you? He's like, well, you know, he goes, yeah, it's fine. You know, I don't care. Now, the US Drift, I know when Chris, when I was there when we came up with the name, we did a search. We tried to find something that was US Drift and I never heard of it. So they went with it. You know, it's one thing to get upset or whatever, but to try to say that we're using that, which is something that, obviously, wasn't that worldwide known. But anyways, you know, I'm getting a little off the topic here. Let me not too stress about that. But 2013, going to be a big year for USDC. They got a good venue, which looks to be a good venue. And that with conjunction, if we can get this Florida series going together along with County Line, DeSoto, CFRC, if that works out, I could see 2013 being a big year for Florida, especially if we can incorporate some kind of pro-am into it. So... There's a lot to be.
I just hope we have enough drivers to qualify for these events.
You know what? I think the drivers will, they'll come.
If we can get drivers from CFRC, we may have a better chance.
Oh, they'll come. They will come for Pro-Am.
If you build it,
they will come.
They will come.
Caroline's been built.
Well, no, we're talking about if we can get this series and all the event organizers, you know, if we can all just keep our focus on the drivers and building a pro-am event and not be greedy, because what happens a lot of times is somebody wants to be like, oh, well, I want to call the whole series this. You know, I want it to name it after us, so they get all the glory. If we all work together.
Let's call it NOS.
No.
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 That ain't happening.
I thought that was a good idea. What do you guys...
No. Anyways.
You guys are hating.
If we can work together and take the egos out and focus on doing the series... I think it'll work out. The problem is there's always that one person that wants to be in charge of everything. Egos collide.
Alpha male.
Can't work, huh?
Alpha male.
Alpha male syndrome. If we work together, it can be done. And it'll definitely benefit Florida. and the drivers as well.
Yeah.
Because we're not talking about driving far to compete in this event. You have to drive three or four hours for an event. It's not nothing compared to
that's also another incentive for drivers down here to step it up.
And you know what the thing is if there's a legit series and there's legit events, you're going to get sponsors wanting to back it.
Yep.
And it's just going to help the drivers. It's a win-win situation.
Well, with that said, first off, let's bring this to a close. Paul, what's the runtime?
It is 2 hours and 4 minutes.
Wow.
Good Lord. Our biggest podcast yet, even though this is our second episode. Yeah. But I hope this is the longest we've do. I
would like to we don't want to keep it this long.
Well, anywho.
It's hard. There's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
That is true. But I want to thank our special guest, Mr. Rod Becker, for coming out.
I like drifting. Yay!
Anytime, anytime.
I want to thank Rod Becker for coming out, supporting us, letting us bother him for a bit.
Not a problem.
Give him a chance to voice his opinion about certain things, even though he didn't really say much a couple of times. He's cool. He's calm. He's chill like that.
I try not to step on anybody's
toes. It's Rod Becker.
And we hope you come back some other time. Not next week. We got another guest lined up.
Not a problem.
Sorry. Yet to be determined.
No, we didn't like you that much.
I think we'll probably maybe try to get whoever the new King of County Line is.
Ooh.
The new King of County Line.
On the next episode.
That's if there is a new King of County Line.
On the next episode, we hope to bring you a special by actually reporting live, doing the podcast live at the After Party Christmas Party from the King of County Line event.
Nice.
Stay tuned. That'll be good.
That will be interesting. Will be so there'll be a lot of driver interviews since everybody will be there. And it should be guaranteed chaos, I would imagine.
But it'll definitely be
not going to work out.
It'll be, I can't say a must-see, but it'll be a must-hear podcast.
Yeah. Yep. We're going to be like, oh, my God, he's streaking. Oh! You got to see this, folks. He's naked and he's flying around. He's so pale. He looks like an albino bear.
I am not looking forward to that. Not looking forward to that.
All right. Want to thank my co-host, Mr. Tim Murphy.
Hey, thank you.
Noel Garcia.
That's me.
And, of course, our radio engineer, Mr. Paul Murphy.
That's right.
Thank you for knowing.
And myself, Captain Ben, wishing you all well. Hope to see you next time. Signing off.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah, we really do.